live and local. It's time for Fan Sports Sunday. If the weekend is a big desert for sports talk, think of this show as an oasis.
Yes, yes, here we go.
Come drink from our pool of hot takes as you quench your thirst with.
I thought I was going somewhere, but I'm not.
So let's just start the show. Here's Elon Musk.
Okay, indeed, we'll start the show. I'm Tito. She's Jen. You heard Caleb on the update. His farewell to today. Not farewell all around. So he's leaving now for the day, I think. Or is he sticking around to do basketball? He's probably sticking around, isn't he?
No, he has to go work for the Lantern and take pictures at women's basketball.
That's right.
It's senior day.
Have fun.
It's a big game for Ohio State women today. That's Ryan Baker, by the way. You just heard him on there. So Ohio State women take on Maryland today. I believe they clinch, right, with a win? They clinch the number one seed. Is that accurate?
Oh, I don't know.
They might. I know they clinch at least a share of the regular season title today.
But Indiana and Iowa both have three losses.
Correct.
The most Ohio State could have if they win today is three. They've got the tiebreaker over Indiana, right? Because they beat them the one time they played.
Well, they have to play. They play again in the season.
Not Indiana.
Indiana. Yeah. Sorry. Indiana. Yeah. My bad.
I think they have the best head-to-head record among them. I think they'd be 2-1 at that point. So anyway, we'll verify all of that.
Well, and then next week is their final game.
Right.
Against Iowa. Holy crap. This season has gone so fast.
It has. It has.
So fast.
It's flown by. We're going to talk to Kevin McGuffter here in a little bit. He's going to join us to talk prior to that game at 2 o'clock today. You heard Caleb mention on the update. Coverage starts at 1:45 over on 1460 ESPN. We also have John Gerber on today at 12:18, our betting expert for golf. OSU men play Michigan State at 4 o'clock right here on The Fan. Nice win for the crew yesterday. Mm-hmm. They're season opener, 1-0 over Atlanta.
Yeah, I'd like to thank MLS for not tying in with T-Mobile this season. So I will not be watching crew games as I will have to pay for them. So thanks so much for that. But congratulations on your win. I'm happy for you.
Next up's Minnesota United FC at 2 o'clock next Saturday.
I still can't believe we had the snow, right?
Right.
And we had more snow than they had forecasted we were supposed to get.
Which never happens.
No, never here.
Right.
And they're out there playing in that nonsense. I mean, it had stopped snowing, but it was so cold.
Other than your bitterness towards the MLS,
mm-hmm.
How are you doing, Jen?
I'm good. Yeah, all I'm right. good. I mean, last week, Scotty Vegas was on vacation.
Right.
And I got to fill in a few extra days on Man and Bone because they all got sick from Rothman's Super Bowl disease, whatever it is Rothman got.
Oh, they all got it?
Yeah.
I'm so out of the loop. I had no idea.
Yeah, they got it. And then we celebrated Timmy Hall's 40th birthday. It was just a great week around here.
I don't know if people know this or not. Tim's actually been 43 times. He does this every time just to get a big to-do, but it's the third year he's been 40.
We put banner.
I know. I saw the photos. I saw it all.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
We brought him donuts and everything. So
we did the same thing at the old station, the old location on German Village. We had it there, too, so I'm not really sure.
Is he older than me, then? He's older than me.
There was a baseball player, Ron LaFleur, which no one knows if you're listening, probably because you're not as old as me. Ron LaFleur, before he played Major League Baseball, he went to prison for a few years and then got out of prison. Tigers liked him. They signed him to a contract and all this stuff. And then he plays about a 10-year Major League career. And at the end, they find out he was actually 3 years older than he said he was when he came into the big leagues. They found that out later. But anyway, that's Tim Hall. Not prison, but the other part. What else we got today? The Reds beat the Guardians yesterday 4-0. Reds take on the Angels today at 3:05. Guardians Mariners at 3:10.
It's just cold. It's so cold out that I'm still not.
It's going to be 60 tomorrow and almost 70 on Tuesday.
But they're already playing baseball.
I know.
Wow.
Guardians Mariners at 3:10. Yeah. CBJ hosts the Rangers tonight at 6 p.m. Rangers won 10 in a row, haven't lost in a month. They're led by Artemi Panarin with a 78 points this season, 32 goals, 46 assists. Hate seeing that happen. Nice guy. Just hate seeing it happen because he's a former Jacket. First in the Eastern Conference for the Rangers right now. Number 17, Kentucky, set a school record for most points scored against a ranked opponent yesterday, beating out number 13, Alabama, 117-95. So that the Wildcats are in great form right now. And now we are joined on the Bryant Heating and Cooling System Fan Guest Hotline by Ohio State women's head coach Kevin McGuff, the number 2 ranked Buckeyes in action today against Maryland. Coach, how you doing?
Good. Doing well. How are you guys?
Good. Thanks for taking time. I know you're very busy getting ready for this game against Maryland. And I'm curious, you know, you've had a lot of well, let's get into this. Ricky Harris, is she gonna be okay to play today?
Yeah, she's gonna be fine. She sprained her ankle, just tweaked it a little bit at Penn State, but had a couple good days of rehab. She's good to go.
Awesome. Okay. Now I know that you are going up against Maryland. They've got Brenda Freese, who's been there since what, like 2002. She's got an NCAA championship on her resume. Been in the Sweet 16 11 times, Elite Eight last year. They're a little bit down this year. They're 16-10. Maryland's usually better than that. But are there certain things that you always know is going to happen against a Brenda Freese coach team? Or does she mix it up a lot based on the talent each year? Is there something you can count on because you've coached against her so often?
Yeah, you know, she kind of mixes it up based on the talent. She's done, obviously, an incredible job there. They're normally one of the most talented teams in our league. And she does a really good job coaching them as well. And so we've had a great rivalry with them over the years. We've had some really great games. And, you know, most years we've been competing, you know, at the top of the Big Ten. So we know we'll have a huge challenge today. They're very talented. They do a really nice job switching their defenses. So a lot that we have to do well to be successful today.
I know that you beat Maryland the first time, 84-76. What worked in that game that you want to carry over to this game and this matchup?
We were really good on offense, especially in the second half at Maryland. We're going to have to be, I think, better defensively today than we were then. We were really kind of sloppy in that game at Maryland on the defensive end, our transition defense. They're very quick up the court. They kind of play small ball. They play five guards at times. And so they can really get up the court quickly. They kind of space you out and they shoot it well. So our transition defense, our defense in general, will have to be really good.
Last week, Kevin, we had you on. I mentioned after the segment, it sounded like you said bite me to me, but I went back and listened to it. You said despite me. And it just I interrupted you. So it sounded like bite me, but it was. So I want to make sure we get that cleared up.
Oh, my God.
But no, but I want to know, I want you to know this. You know how many times you guys have been outscored in the third quarter this year?
No, I do not.
Twice, just two times, you've been outscored in the third quarter. I think it was UCLA was one of them, and then Iowa was the other one. But you've outscored the opponent, and so obviously that's a big thing to have in this. Are there certain, when you go to set your lineup for the third quarter, when you're in the locker room doing that, are there certain people on your team that you can just tell are dialed in a lot of the time, and that leads to having a big third quarter?
Yeah, you know, we've done a good job coming out of halftime. I think our kids, they get in the locker room, they talk about stuff amongst themselves before we even get in there, and we kind of get settled, get organized, and they've done a great job coming out of the locker room at halftime and really, you know, playing the game the way we want to play it. And our press lately in particular has been really good out of halftime, and so hopefully that can be the case today as well.
How important is it to you to get the number one seed in the Big Ten tournament and avoid having to play both Indiana and Iowa in the tournament?
Yeah, it would be great. I mean, certainly if we take care of business and that happens, that's awesome. But really, I'm just trying to keep everybody focused on just today, period. And then we'll try to get through today and see where we're at and move on to the next one.
God, it seems like Celeste Taylor's really been playing great lately. I think she had seven steals the other night. And I know when she first announced she was transferring, you were excited about what she could do with the press, but it seems like it, just in recent games, it's like gone to another level.
Yeah, you know, just it's you know, our system is different and kind of unique, and it takes a little while to get used to it. And I just think every week that she's been here, she's gotten a little bit better. And it's been really fun to see. She's a great kid. I'm happy that she's playing well, and hopefully she can continue with this type of production.
Did you guys celebrate the fact that she hit the 1,500 career points, like, after the game?
You know what? We didn't, because I didn't know. So.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
But we kind of caught up with that when we got back to practice.
Yeah, she called us, asked us to bring that up. She was a little disappointed.
Yeah.
So it's senior class gets honored today. It's a senior day for the Ohio State women. And I'm curious, what's that like for you as a coach? I mean, the seniors know it's something different. Like, you've got these some of these young ladies who you've had in the program the entire time. Some of you've only had for a brief time because they come in through the transfer portal. But what is it like for you on senior day?
Yeah, it's, you know, I try to keep it focused on the game as much as I can, but it is, you know, it is an interesting time to just really just try to kind of reflect on all the things that we've, you know, kind of been through and all the positive moments we've had. Like, people like J.C. Sheldon have been here 5 years, and I could tell you 50 stories about all of them, just how awesome they've all been. And so it's a great time to honor them, of course, reflect back a little bit, but then also just try to make sure we get everybody locked in on the game as well.
And then what's going to be the biggest key today for you against Maryland? Like, what is one thing that, you know, we have to do this if we're going to win?
I think transition defense is going to be critical. I think also they're going to play a lot of zone. They're going to switch their defenses. So we're going to have to be able to execute against their really good zone defense.
Can you brag on your daughter for a little bit? She had a big game, didn't she?
Yeah. She's doing well. She's doing great down at Belmont. And, so she's got a big one today as well. So
who do they have today?
Marie State.
Okay. All right. That's good. Yeah. She had like, by the way, just so you know, I don't always make it a point to check the stats for the Belmont game, but I will tell you this. Every time after a Belmont game and it pops up on the box scores, my dad texts me and tells me.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So I just want you to know, my dad's obviously a big fan of the McGuff family as well.
That's fantastic.
Best of luck today. Go ahead and get a win, and then we'll talk again soon, Kevin.
Awesome. Thank you.
That was head coach Kevin McGuff, the Ohio State women's basketball team, joining us on the Bryant Heating and Cooling System Fan Guest Hotline. We'll have Monica. What we play that later on in the final hour. I say final hour. Is that what I said in the? I think that's what I said in the show sheet, wasn't it? There, Baker.
I don't know. I didn't look at it.
That's all right. No worries. We're flying by the seat of our pants anyway on this one.
One segment at a time in here.
Let's do it. No. Look, if Ohio State can get that number one seed Big Ten tournament and force Indy and Iowa to play each other in the semis, and then the next day have to play Ohio State, that's a huge advantage for the Buckeyes.
Oh yeah. Well. Go ahead.
Ryan. I was just going to say, you guys were talking about Celeste Taylor and her career points.
Yeah.
They had a couple other milestones in that last game that went over Penn State as well. JC Sheldon, that was her 100th game that she scored in double figures.
Oh my God.
While at Ohio State. And she also, I can't remember who she passed. I wish I had it in front of me, but she jumped into number 8th all time on the Ohio State career scoring list.
That is awesome.
Pretty nice for JC and those accomplishments.
And I know we got, two more games left. It's,
after this one, yeah. After this one, you got the team up north, got to avenge that loss playing here in Columbus, and then close out against Iowa and Caitlin Clark. And by the way, Caitlin Clark could still come back for another year, you know. She still has, she can play another year, but go ahead, yeah.
Will that be one of those records, if she does come back, that we talk about can never be broken?
Her scoring? Oh.
Yes. Because of the COVID year and I don't think anybody would ever touch it.
You're probably right about that. Yes. Yeah, right about that one.
Oh, and you know what we're going to do? I'm pulling a little bit of a hiccup here, Ryan. So when we go to replay the McGuff interview, let's give away tickets to the Michigan game because I control that and I want to give away tickets.
Listen, I mean.
So be listening.
More work. I'm good with that.
We'll give away a pair. I have a few pairs left, but okay. Let's give away a pair. We haven't done that.
We want to make him work. Let's make him like caller 114 or something.
Not
to
doing
him.
That.
Let's make him do that. Just to really make
but no,
him work.
No, let's do that.
And first caller, congratulations. You're 114.
Not right now. Not right now.
Don't call now.
I'm not opening the phones.
No, don't call now. But when we rerun it, let's give away a pair of tickets for Wednesday night's game.
We'll absolutely do that. That'll be a lot of fun. Yes, we can do that for sure. All right. So, we played the McGuff interview. Coming up next, though, we had an incident last month at Ohio State. Another one that was worse happened at Wake Forest yesterday. Something needs to change. Scotty Vegas, I'm talking to you. We'll do this next. Fan Sports Sunday on the Fan.
Wake up with the Fan. Eat lunch with the Fan. Go to bed with the Fan. Dream about the Fan. Then change your sheets. Gross.
Ew, you guys are gross, but stick around in case I don't find anyone else.
Garnish your Bloody Mary with sports talk. You're listening to Fan Sports Sunday.
What the hell was that?
That was awesome. Oh, boy.
Weekend radio.
There's nothing like it.
I'm Tito. She's Jen. He's Ryan Shaken Baker. And
that was fun. That was I meant to delete that and that didn't happen.
I believe I've done the correct research on this. Ohio State women win today. They clinch the number one seed.
Really?
This is why the Buckeyes have one loss this year in the Big Ten, right?
Yeah.
Okay. They are. It'd be if they end up with 3 losses, Indiana with 3, Iowa 3. They're all 3 losses. They're all up there at the top. Ohio State will have gone 2-1 against those other two teams, beating Iowa, beating Indiana, losing to Iowa. Indiana went 1-2. Iowa is currently 1-2. They would be 2-2. And the Big Ten bases it on head-to-head-to-head winning percentage, not total wins, because obviously Ohio State played fewer games against them because they didn't play. They didn't play Iowa or didn't play Indiana twice. Indiana played Iowa twice. Nonetheless, what I'm saying is that Ohio State at worst would be 2-1 against that group. And neither one of them can finish better than that against the group. So if Ohio State gets this win, The worst they can finish is 15-3. The best Indiana-Iowa can finish is also 15-3. So the win today does it.
That's awesome.
Take that for data.
I think that's right. Anyway, I made the joke about Scotty Vegas because we know he stormed the court against Duke a few years back for Ohio State.
Yes.
And yes, you're too old to do it, Scotty. But we had this stuff happen when Ohio State beat Iowa 100-92 back on January 21st. Remember, the fans here rushed the court. Caitlin Clark got knocked over.
Yes.
Shortly after that, the Big Ten released a statement that said, the safety and security of student athletes, coaches, and staff is of utmost importance. The Big Ten requires host institutions to provide adequate security for visiting teams for their arrival for a game through their departure, the statement said. If adequate security is not provided, there's a process in place that begins with a private reprimand for the first offense, public reprimand, for a second offense, and the discretion to implement a fine plus additional penalties for a third offense. We routinely review our policy as needed to ensure a safe environment for everyone. Yesterday, Wake Forest beat visiting Duke 83-79. Demon Deacon fans rushed the court. They knocked Kyle Filipowski to the ground. The 7-foot sophomore from Duke is averaging team-leading 16.9 points, 8.2 rebounds, 1.7 blocks for a Duke team that is obviously going to be NCAA tournament. He is a key part of that, obviously, team.
Yeah.
And if you saw the video, it was a lot different than what the Ohio State video was against Iowa. I mean, these fans, it was ugly seeing how fast they were getting on the court.
It was very quick. The Iowa thing was very, it was well-paced.
Things have changed dramatically when it comes to sports and the fans and their interaction getting on the court. There once was a time when teams rarely rushed the court. Like, fans would rush the court after a bit, went over the number one team in the country, or a huge upset or something. It happens far too often now. And I know I'm going way overboard when I say this, Jen. But every time I see fans interacting with the players, I go back to the Monica Seles incident.
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know? Yes. Obviously, there's going to be a few bad apples in the bunch.
It takes one crazed fan.
Yeah.
Especially when it's you're rushing the court and, like, you know, Duke is a Wake Forest opponent going forward. Like, they're conference opponents against each other. And, you know, Wake Forest is, you know, still trying to get in the NCAA tournament, all these things. What if somebody deliberately ran into their player and knocked him over? And it could have been that was the case there.
I was just going to say, we talked about this on the money today.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's like, I get situations were a little different, but like the Caitlin Clark thing, she got a lot of crap for that.
Yeah.
And I don't think, like you said, the pacing's different. I totally disagree. Caitlin Clark, it's not her job to pay attention to people running onto her place of work.
It should be like a safety thing where like their safety should be protected at all times.
For sure. But I'm just saying, like, I just don't like, I don't know. The pacing thing, I think that it's the exact same in both situations. Like, I don't think there's any difference between the Caitlin Clark and this thing. Like, if you feel Caitlin Clark flopped, then you should feel this guy flopped and vice versa, yada, yada, whatever. But what's going to happen is they're going to ban it. That's what they're going to do. But hey, if you run on the court, if you touch an opposing player, coach, or official, you're going to jail.
That's exactly what I was
going to
say.
You're going to jail. It's your responsibility to avoid them. That's their place where they're supposed to be. You're not. So if you touch them, jail.
I would almost go like a step further. If there was an arena, a team, the first time someone rushes the court, the next time it happens, you make that team, the conference or the NCAA, whatever, NCAA, that's a joke. The conference forces that team to spend a lot more money on security for the rest of that season. So you get more police. Like I say, arrest anybody who goes out there, Ryan. But then the other thing is, if it happens again, let's say it happens another time after that where fans rush the court, you tell that team they cannot sell seats to the first five rows of the arena.
Oh.
You got it. You can't. Those first five rows have to remain empty. They have to be empty.
Well, and there's the case in the SEC as far as football is concerned, where the SEC fines the teams once the fans start rushing the field.
Right.
And they fine them even more when the goalposts are removed.
Sure. Yeah.
Which I think, I mean, that could also be lobbied in this case. It's easier to storm a basketball court than it is a football field.
Yep.
So I don't know. I think like a fine system would also come into place and That would then teach the universities to bolster, you know, security and make sure that, you know, there's more the ways that they can access the court. It's more difficult.
I would say you're banned from the arena for, I don't know, 5 years maybe. And by the way, if you're a student of that school, I would want to have some kind of punishment levied at that individual as well. That's tied into their admissions.
I mean, going to OU and when they did the crackdown on the time change, and they had cops on mounted horseback,
right?
And they got to the point where if you were caught crossing the streets,
right,
you were arrested and you were suspended for a quarter.
See, that's the kind of stuff I would do if I was in that situation. If that's what they need to do.
But
storming the court cannot happen anymore.
I get it. So from a fan's perspective, I've never done that before, but I totally understand. I mean, it's a mob mentality. They're excited. They've won a big game. The thing is, though, is that Wake Forest came in and they were favorites. To win this over Duke. Get it. It's Duke. It's a big name, but whatever. I don't know. Like, I feel bad for the fans in some respect just because of that, but at the same time, things need to change, and if they're going to allow that to happen, then they need to figure out a way to make sure that players, coaches, referees are all safe.
All goes back to my story about when I went to Madison with some buddies in 03, and Ohio State lost at Wisconsin that day. Chris Gamble slipped. Lee Evans got by him for the touchdown. Awful weather, raining the whole time. We lost one of our friends for a while.
Oh, that's right.
Because he ran onto the field, and I asked him why, and he said, anybody can rush the field after a win. It takes a real fan to do it after a loss.
Oh, anyway. Boy.
All right, coming up next, 21 days until the tournament draws, the Big Ten set up for disappointment on the men's side. Great, more good news next, right here, Fan Sports Sunday on the Fan.
Chops his serial killer eyes, and Reeser can grow a full beard before lunch. What can your friends do? Bishop and Friends.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan. Live, local, and still slightly drunk.
I'm not drunk, all right? I just have a speech impediment.
This is Fan Sports Sunday.
Indeed, it is Fan Sports Sunday. I'm Tito. She's Jen.
I was practicing rushing out onto the court watching Ryan play Papa Shot.
Yeah, that's what it was. It's exactly. It's the same thing. I thought it was weird you tried to take his knees out. But that's whatever. It doesn't matter.
I'm not Sweet Lou. I didn't have my shovel with me.
Only big wins for me on Papa Shot.
Did you... Has Tyvus ever beaten anybody in Papa Shot? I don't think he has.
And when you know that old saying about blind squirrels and nuts,
yeah.
You know, every once in a while he'll find something. Yeah. But that's one of my new favorite things, by the way, in life.
What's that?
I guess in general is just talking crap to Tyvus.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. He's like the nicest, most positive human in the world, but I love talking stuff to him.
Yeah, he certainly
imagine doing that like at all
because he's not
the sweetest human being.
You should try it.
No, I would never. I don't want to do that.
You're right. He's not arrogant at all.
No.
How do you think you should display your hands today?
I didn't drop a ball. I started to go out there one handed because I know people be trying to play me sometimes. So I just want to go out there and catch everything in sight. Didn't drop no money today.
I love that. I didn't drop. No
I want
money
a T-shirt
today.
That says "Didn't drop no money today."
I will say, Tyvus was like. He was on the Buckeye Cruise, obviously, last week. He's like, all these people were calling me, and I'm just thinking, I'm missing out on this money. I'm missing out on
it.
He dropped a lot of money last week.
Oh.
So the Ohio State men's basketball team, obviously, they got Michigan State today, and we know the chance of Ohio State making the NCAA tournament are about as good as me making the NCAA tournament. But we're 21 days until they draw both the men's and women's brackets out there. Current projections have just 6 Big Ten teams in. They have Purdue. This is on ESPN's Bracketology by Joe Lunardi. Purdue is a 1, Illinois is a 4, Wisconsin a 5, Michigan State a 7, Northwestern Nebraska as 10s.
Mm.
That's just 6 teams from the Big Ten in the tournament as of right now, according to Lunardi. Last year, the Big Ten had 7 teams in. Purdue, Indiana, Michigan State, Northwestern, Maryland, Illinois, and Penn State. They went 6-8 in the tournament. In 2022, they got 9 teams. There was some controversy. People thought that the Big Ten did not deserve to have that many teams in the tournament.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, that was a lot.
They went 9-9. They had 2 teams in the Sweet 16, Purdue and Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan getting in as 11. Purdue is a 3. But then the other teams in the field were Wisconsin, a 3, Illinois, a 4, Iowa, a 5, Ohio State, a 7. Remember, they won their first game and then lost to Villanova, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Michigan State is a 7, Rutgers 11, Indiana 12. So from 9 teams in 2022 to potentially just 6 teams this year is a drop. And I know you're getting 4 new teams in next year with USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington, but I'm just sensing another big disappointing turnout for the Big Ten in the NCAA tournament.
Well,
this year,
it's not like the teams that we're bringing in from the Pac-12 are basketball powerhouses. You know, like UCLA used to be, but,
right?
And in USC, we really don't ever hear.
Yeah.
So it's. I hope it's not same stuff, different day. My hope is that whoever it is they find to replace Holtman at Ohio State can come in and, you know, bring the team back up and make it to the tournament next year.
We haven't seen the. Obviously, we don't know who each of these teams, if they got in, who they would play.
Right.
But it would not surprise me at all if Purdue was the only Big Ten team to win a first-round game.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me, honestly.
I don't trust Illinois at all. I don't trust Wisconsin. Michigan State may have the next best chance just because of Izzo. Because
that's the only thing, though, is because you've got the Izzo factor with it. But, like, other than that, they're not that great. I mean, they'll get a win today, sorry, against Ohio State. But, yeah. Yeah.
The Big Ten has fallen so much, it feels like to me. I mean, who was our last national champion? Who was the last national champion? Michigan State?
Yeah, wasn't it 2000?
Was it the Mateen Cleaves years?
Yeah, right around there.
Yeah, but it used to be the Big Ten was so much better in basketball. And I can't figure out what has changed.
Well, I mean, a lot of it is like the one and done, and we're seeing the players go to places like Kentucky. I mean, UConn is now making a resurgence. We hadn't heard from them in a while, and now they're back, you know, defending champs. We're seeing them go, players go more towards those one and dones with, you know, the high profile teams. And it sucks, but that's just the way it is.
Doesn't it go hand in hand, like every sport, with coaching? I think,
yeah,
like you used to have Izzo, you used to have Bob Knight, you used to have Gene Katie, you used to have all the Kelvin Sampson was at Indiana for a while, who's doing great. Yeah, Bo Ryan. You used to have all the, you know, better coaches, I think. Just to me, like, Howard's not working right now at Michigan.
Yeah.
Woodson isn't working at Indiana. Holtman obviously wasn't working here. I think it's just the coaching cycle of everything. Even Izzo. Izzo's great, but he's getting older.
Yeah.
You know, Thad was able to succeed the one and done era. You know, obviously he had some good runs here at Ohio State with that. The coaching is probably what it is more than anything else.
Illinois, what was the name? Was it Weber? Bruce Weber?
Yeah, Bruce Weber.
Mm-hmm. Great coach.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what it is more than anything.
It's just setting up to be another disappointing season in the Big Ten. If 6 teams get in, that's pathetic. Out of the 68
team field. It does not look good for the conference at all.
No, not at all. So, I don't, I can't see, Purdue, they'll be a 1 seed, whatever, that's fine. You saw Ohio State beat Purdue, which should tell you something about Purdue. You know, the fact that the Buckeyes did beat them the way they did. And even though Zach Edey still had a decent game, the Buckeyes forced him to like 6 turnovers or something. So, I see Purdue as the only team with Sweet 16 potential, even in this field.
Even last year we thought that they would go far, and it was a 16 seed upset. So I mean,
I'm not like Purdue's style of basketball doesn't win in today's basketball world. Like,
true,
you've got, if you're going to have a big man that your offense is centered around, they have to have hit more than 1 3 in their career. And that's all Zach Edey has ever had is 1 3-point basket in his career. Like, they're just not, they are not set up for Sweet 16 in tournament.
No, and he's not holding the ball up higher than his opponents. Like, he just keeps it around his waist area. And so it's like, that's why Ohio State was able to steal the ball as often as they did from him last week. It's, you know, keep away. And he's standing in the lane for more than 3 seconds, but they're never calling it.
Yeah, he's certainly
still fundamentals.
He's going to win the Naismith Award again. He's going to be the player of the year in college basketball. It's going to happen again.
But do you think he comes back? Because, I mean, I can't see him making that big of a name for himself in the NBA.
I think he makes more money next year at Purdue than with the
probably.
NBA.
He should. He's not going to have an NBA career.
He'll be a second round pick, probably.
He'll G League, and then he'll fizzle out.
I did see a mock draft, I think on ESPN or somewhere else the other day. And can you guess who they had taking Zach Edey in the first round?
The Pacers?
No. Celtics. Of course. Right. Yeah. The Celtics. So.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It's a, he's built for regular season college basketball.
He's built for 1992 college
That's
basketball.
Exactly it.
Not even 92. Yeah, against
yeah,
Shaq and Warning and those guys.
North Carolina was doing it with Zwicker and Montross. And
I was going to say he's more built for like the 1980s.
Kansas did it with Greg Ostertag.
Oh, that's right.
Scott Pollard. My God, I haven't thought about him in like 100 years.
He was early 90s college basketball.
Yes.
You're right. And he would have been, like a mid-first round pick probably.
And he needed like an Anfernee Hardaway to like join him.
So I'm not impressed with Purdue at all. I think they've got the best shot at getting to the Sweet 16, and even winning a first round game out of all the teams in the Big Ten that could be in the tournament,
you
unless something drastic changes.
But I just don't care because I'm just excited that it's almost tournament time.
Oh yeah,
you know,
me too.
I just get to the point where I'm just like, hey, who's the school nobody's talking about that's going to make a lot of big waves? That's my school,
guys. Your next show. Yeah. We'll be in the month of March, which is officially basketball tournament season.
You're right.
And our next show is going to be very short.
That's right, because of the Ohio State-Iowa game, right?
Yeah, and I'm all about that, so let's put the women on.
Are you more excited about the women's tournament than the men's tournament this year?
100% yes. Well, yes, because of the Ohio State factor,
right,
and Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, like what we saw last year. Mm-hmm. But then again, it's just, you know, tried and true. The men's tournament is always like my favorite thing of the whole year. So I'm excited for both, probably a little bit more excited, though, this year for the women than the men.
I don't think I could say that I'm more excited for the women's, mm-hmm, but there are probably certain parts of it that I'm more excited for. Obviously, the Ohio State part. And, you know, Caitlin Clark, I think she's the biggest needle mover in sports
now.
So,
yeah, I would say this. I am more I'm probably more excited about the women's tournament. I will watch more of the men's tournament still. So mm-hmm, it's not gonna, like, I'm gonna watch Ohio State, and you know, I watch South Carolina, I watch LSU, I watch some of those games, but like I'll have the four screens going watching every men's game, but I will tune into the women's game. But I'm more excited about it. But I still, just because also the betting aspect, we'll all feel, I mean, we're gonna have an NCAA bracket contest here for the men's tournament. We won't have one for the women's tournament. And we won't fill out any really online for the women's tournament.
Well, I don't think, Jen, correct me if I'm wrong, we couldn't find like a server for a women's tournament bracket
challenge. And that's the thing that sucks is that these companies have all of these ways and opportunities for you to sign up and fill out the men's bracket.
Right.
But there's no corresponding bracket for the women because, I don't know, that's too hard for them to do.
I don't know. I'm not sure on that.
I don't know. But I mean, I'll just go to ESPN like I normally do, and I'll fill out a woman's bracket there because I know they'll have it.
We won't be able to bet on player props, though.
No, we won't be able to.
Tournament.
I saw that, yes. Yeah.
God, that's so... I get it, but at the same time, oh, come on.
All right, coming up next, another owner of a major sports team is asking for help, and this has to stop. We'll do that next. Fan Sports Sunday on The Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
My, the meatloaf!
During weekend programming,
pants are optional.
Look at my butt!
However, leather chairs may have been a bad choice.
You're listening to Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday, Tito, Jen, Ryan with you here until 2 o'clock. And I have been corrected. Snagglepuss reached out to me on the X on Twitter, pointed out how could the Big Ten teams go 6-8 last year with just 7 teams in the tournament, as I stated. He asked if there could be a team get eliminated twice.
Some funky math.
I messed up. There were 8 teams, so thank you for that. Keep me on my toes. A math that happens on the X.
It's common core.
Probably not the first time. Definitely won't be the last.
No, but it gets one of the first that gets pointed out to me. A lot of times I just do it, no one says anything, but that's, yeah, I'm fine with that. I'm not that, I like it. If I don't like getting something wrong, Jen,
uh-huh,
but if I get it wrong, tell me. I go to the old Jerry Orbach from Dirty Dancing. When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Nobody puts baby in the corner anymore. That's right. Okay, so Jerry Reinsdorf, owner of the White Sox. Also, you remember him with the Bulls.
Yeah.
He is about to turn 88. And The Athletic had this story by John Greenberg. By the way, subscribe to The Athletic. It's great. And according to this article, he is asking the city and state for more than $1 billion of public money for a new stadium right now.
I hate that. I hate that.
And he kind of threatened. He said, or someone else is going to be asking for it down the road. He made it sound like that, look, if we don't do it now, you're going to have to do it for somebody else later, or they might move the team. Because he has said when he dies, morbid thought, but he's 88 almost, so it's a hell of a life. Anyway, he has told his sons, his family members, who would then take over, that he wants them to sell the team.
I'm sure that they would be perfectly happy in selling the team, considering the fact that the White Sox haven't done anything in
right.
a hot minute.
It's been a while, yeah. I mean, a couple years ago, they were in contention, but just their attendance is down because they suck, and also because it's not Wrigley.
Right. You know? Well, yeah.
And he's threatened to leave before. There was talk years ago about him going to Tampa but before they got the...
Before
they got the Rays.
Yeah.
So... But I hate that this guy's got a lot of money, you know, and although I'm okay with asking the public to chip in some, a little bit, not much even, but like,
right.
It pisses me off when these guys have all that money and they get all these tax breaks and then all these, they get public money to build stadiums for their teams.
I hate it. I hate it so much because there are so many other things that need help and need public funding. You know, think of our schools, think of the infrastructure, think of the bridges that you're driving on every day that have been around since the 60s and are crumbling and falling apart. The potholes in the streets, so many things.
Yeah.
But no, let's all pitch in and build the White Sox a brand new Comiskey Park. Comiskey 3, we'll call it, or whatever the hell.
The Sox last year had the largest decrease in baseball attendance. They drew almost 340,000 fewer fans for the game. Which is about, what, like 4,100, almost 4,200 fans per game they lost. So
that's nuts.
But it's just like we already use our hard-earned money to support these teams, right?
Right.
We support Ohio State that way.
Yeah.
We support Ohio State by the way we pay exorbitant amounts of money for tickets to Ohio State games. That's also supporting the team. When you do something like this, where you're trying to get the city and the state to put the money up, you are asking people who have no desire to support the team, who never go to a White Sox game, to have to pony up some money for the White Sox. You know?
Like,
that's the part. If you're going to do it, and I hate screwing the fan over, but if you're going to do it, find other ways to increase prices within the facility that would raise that money, as opposed to making, you know, somebody who has no desire whatsoever to watch baseball and doesn't go to White Sox games, make them pay money out of their paychecks to do it.
And according to Forbes, it looks like he's worth $2.4 billion.
Right.
So it's just like, you got the money, man.
Finance the damn thing yourself.
Yes, and then sell the team and make your money back.
Right.
I mean, you won't see it. You'll be dead, but whatever.
You're talking about Reinsdorf, not me, right?
No, not you. Well, I mean, it might be. I mean, you're getting up there.
It's been 33 years since they opened that park.
That's pretty damn old.
It is
for a baseball stadium when you think about it, like, because everybody wants to redo it. And I remember when the old Comiskey was decommissioned and the new Comiskey happened, and that was like a big deal. And that, God, I can't believe that was 33 years ago. I'm old.
Yeah, it's been a while. And but, you know, baseball stadiums used to last a lot longer than that. Technology changes so much now. That's why you have to do it. And the fan experience changes.
I mean, and at least at Wrigley, they have been trying their hardest to keep things, you know, as up to date as possible. But it makes you wonder how long, you know, Wrigley and
Fenway
are going to be around, because I mean, those are some very, very old ballparks.
But they still do great because attendance wise. Yeah, it's stepping back in time.
Well, and then you think about like Camden Yards. I've never been there. I want to go there. And I know it's been around for a hot minute.
Camden Price since like the late 80s, early 90s, right?
And I just remember when that opened, and that was supposed to give you the feel of the old school ballpark.
Right.
And it's gorgeous. Like, I want to go to a game there.
It opened up in 1992, April 6th, 1992 is when it opened up. To construct that building cost $110 million.
Which was a lot of money at that time.
They said it translated to dollars today, be $229 million. So still a decent bargain there, I think, for that. But,
oh, yeah.
The way they cycle through these ballparks now and things like that. And I was thinking about this today. Nobody has football and baseball in the same stadium anymore, do they?
No.
There's no team that does that. Where it used to be, there was a huge chunk of them that did it.
Well, yeah, I mean, before the Raiders jumped to Las Vegas, they were the last ones.
In the Oakland?
In the Oakland Coliseum with the A's.
With the A's, yeah, but no one does anymore. And we see it all the time. When you watched football games back then, you'd see the dirt infield still, or you would see some of the lines.
Yeah, and Pittsburgh. St. Louis, yep, and yep. Cincinnati.
We have none of that anymore, though, yeah. Yeah, there were a lot of them, though. Like, there was so many, but now it's just they'll put the stadiums right next to each other instead. And do it that way. So, all right, coming up next, we just caught up everything that's happened and everything that will happen today in the world of sports. We'll do that next. Fan Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Here's a listener tweet. Are men and bones stupid in real life? Yes. Yes, they are. Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan. Sports talk, weekend style. You're listening to Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday, second hour of the program. Tito, Jen, Ryan Baker with you. You heard him on the update there. Maryland, Ohio State today, 2 o'clock. According to my records, a win clinches the number one overall seed in the Big Ten tournament. Can't wait for that term to get underway.
I'm excited.
Our coverage starts at 1:45. By the way, Big Ten tournament is in Minnesota this year.
Oh.
And?
Are they playing it in the big place where the...
I don't know.
Vikings play, or are they playing where the Bucks play?
That's a... You mean where the Gophers play? Is that what you're asking?
Well, not their arena, but like where the Milwaukee... No. Why am I saying that? I'm an idiot. The Timberwolves?
I'm not sure if
Jen names random sports teams because she doesn't know anything.
I would say I'm not sure if Milwaukee's in Minnesota anymore.
The first place Timberwolves.
Yes.
With former Buckeye Mike Conley. Who
yes.
Has made yes. about $300 million now. Amazing. In his life.
Amazing. Yeah, it's... it's in Minnesota. I'm going to look it up and see what it is. But anyway, I'm looking forward to that tournament. The first time ever, I believe, they have sold out the women's Big Ten tournament.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That's so cool.
Yeah. So,
yay.
Good for them.
Thank you, Caitlin Clark. Yes.
Right. Thank you, Ohio State.
Well, and Ohio State, too. Yes. I mean, I guess
sure.
Everyone
for
is...
For sure, but
it's...
You know, I looked at Caitlin Clark t-shirts earlier this week. Fanatics sent me an email.
Wow.
Like, you're interested in women's sports? Here's this. And I was like, look at that.
It's March 6th through the 10th at the Target Center in Minneapolis. That's where the Lynx and the Timberwolves play, not the Bucks.
I'm a dumbass.
By the way, I went to say Target Center just a couple minutes ago, and my mic was off, so you didn't hear me.
Didn't hear you say it? So anyway, that's coming up. Yeah, that is a cool thing that they've sold that out. I've been to a Big Ten tournament, women's tournament, one time in Indy. It was during the Jessica Davenport era at Ohio State.
Oh, okay.
And I'm telling you, I had so much fun there. Stayed in the same hotel as a team. You know, in Indy, you can walk everywhere.
Yeah.
But it was such a blast. And anytime you go to the men's or women's tournament, you're going to have a good time out there seeing all these other teams, you know, and you just, if you have kids, they get access to all the mascots and stuff, which is always fun too.
Aww.
So yeah, it's a good time. So, we'll see if Ohio State can, wrap that up today. We've got John Gerber coming up in the next hour, our golf betting expert. He will join us at 12:18 later on in the hour, I should say. OSU men, Michigan State, 4 o'clock right here on The Fan. Ohio State, I expected them to kind of come back down to earth against Minnesota, and they did.
Yeah, I was disappointed because there were a couple of chances where they got within like 3-5 points, and I was like, okay, just keep this up. And then it just, Minnesota kept pulling away, and it was just, they looked lost.
They did. After seeing what they did, and this is where I get, we'll talk more about Ohio State men's basketball later, but it's, you know, seeing how well they played against Purdue and how energetic it was, it seemed they came out very flat against Michigan State.
That's exactly
Minnesota.
What it was. Like, it was like they celebrated so hard and they did the impossible on Sunday, and then Thursday night, no one had any gas left. And poor Jameson Battle, you could tell he was trying.
Right.
And every time he got that ball, that crowd was booing him all the time. And he couldn't carry the team on his own.
Seemed like the cruise season just ended.
It did.
When did it end?
November?
The end of December? November, beginning of December.
Okay. And now they had their season opener for the new season. They win 1-0 over Atlanta.
They got their rings last night.
They did?
Yeah, they're nice looking. They're really cool looking. They're just a bunch of diamonds and, yeah.
I talked about this with Tyvis yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't understand why I cannot wrap my head around, because we've been used to football our whole lives, then playing in the elements and
right.
playing in the cold. And we think it's so cool that we do these stadium series games
right.
and hockey, and they grew up playing hockey on the ponds.
Right.
And I cannot wrap my head around them playing soccer in Columbus, Ohio in February. I don't know why. I just can't get past that mental block.
I think it's because they're wearing shorts. And I know you are Mr. Shorts in the wintertime.
I'm with that. I'm cool with that.
Shorts and t-shirts. And it's just, they're in the elements. And it's just a bunch of running. Like, to me, that's just instant pneumonia.
I have coached youth soccer. Assistant coached. I'm not going to be the head coach. Come on, let's not be stupid. I'll organize a snack schedule. I'll stay on the sideline when kids are crying.
I love the look on your face as soon as you said that.
I'm telling you, I have coached in weather worse than that.
It's like, I don't know what you did wrong, but have an orange slice.
Right. It's like, or rub some dirt on it. Your parents signed a permission slip. Whatever. It's, I've tied so many shoes, you know. Anyway, but I've coached in weather worse than that. What amazes me, though, is you get people who are not from Columbus, Ohio. So, like, the girls that I coach, the boys that I coach, it was, you know, they were used to weather, right? But if you play somewhere like in Mexico, or a place that never gets snow or cold,
yeah,
it's got to be a culture shock. Well, I've got a temperature shock for you.
I remember it was maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
They hosted a friendly or an international, because, you know, a qualifier here
right.
in January. It was like January 13th.
Oh, that's right. And
I was like, what in the world are they doing? And
right.
soccer fans that follow that told me that the USA loves putting those games in places like here, or they played one in Colorado either the
right.
week after or the week before, and it was like a blizzard. They were like, they love that because some of these foreign teams aren't used to it, and it's an advantage. And I'm like, it's stupid.
Yeah. But no, you'll love that advantage come this year when Pac-12 teams have start coming out here, when USC's
yeah.
got to play in Columbus in November at some point.
I get that. I don't know why I have a block
yeah.
about soccer
yeah.
with it.
I just think because it's so weird and we're used to just seeing soccer in like the summertime, I just can't get over how long their season is.
Yeah, you're right. I know.
I mean, February to the beginning of December is a season, and that's just crazy.
Crew got the win yesterday, 1-0, like I said, over Atlanta. Cucho scored the only goal. Next up, Minnesota United FC at 2 o'clock next Saturday, so a road game for them. Reds beat the Guardians 4-0. Reds take on the Angels today
yeah,
at 3:05. Yes, they did.
Yeah, they did.
Will Benson hit a home run, I believe.
Yeah. I love Will Benson. I love his enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Do we have to bat flip in spring training?
I don't think you have to bat flip. No.
Did I just get off my lawn here? But do we have to bat flip in spring training?
I think it's fun.
Matty Ice told me you got to practice all aspects
exactly.
of your game.
Right. That's one of them.
I mean, come on.
little people know, Matty Ice does a microphone flip every time he gets off the show with Rothman. Guardians Mariners at 3:10 today. CBJ hosts the Rangers tonight at 6. Rangers hot. 10 in a row, haven't lost in a month.
I miss Panarin.
I was going to say,
I just started to say
Baker's favorite player, Artemi Panarin.
Last week when we were in,
yeah.
he was on the Stadium Series
right.
game, and he was just making the Islanders look stupid, and I was like, oh, he used to be ours.
Yeah.
Is there, okay.
But we didn't have that garage he wanted.
If the Rangers offered Panarin to the Jackets, would the Jackets say, take any player? Is there any player that you wouldn't trade for Panarin on the Jackets roster? Is it just Fantilli?
Mm.
Or would you trade Fantilli for Panarin?
Goudreau.
It's never going to happen. I know.
Panarin's 30 now.
Right.
So, well, close to whatever. Fantilli, maybe. Maybe I wouldn't. Everybody else, see you later.
Yeah, exactly. And
wow.
any combination of players. You know what I mean?
Take the whole team.
Right, yes.
Like
I'm
even Werenski and
yes.
and Jenner and Laine.
Listen, I love Boone.
Yeah.
I love Boone.
And
he is punching above his head every night. They could get so much for him right now.
Yeah, they're going to have to trade him, I think. Exactly.
They're not going to.
You
but
don't think they will?
I think maybe they should.
Panarin, 32 goals, 46 assists, 78 points. They're first in the East.
Him.
I know.
Miss him so much.
I know. In NCAA men's basketball, number 17, Kentucky set a school record for most points scored against a ranked opponent. beating Alabama, who's 13th, 117-95. And you might say that's a lot of points to score. And it is a lot of points to score, but I want you to keep in mind that earlier this season, your Ohio State Buckeyes played Alabama.
Yes, they did.
In Alabama, they did score like 95 against them. Is that what it was?
I think so. It was in the 90s, high. Wasn't it? Yeah, it was like abnormal.
Yeah, I think they scored 95. I want to say 95. It was like Thanksgiving weekend in that.
Yes, it was this.
I was so excited about Ohio State basketball after that game.
92-81.
92-81. Okay. I was so excited about Ohio State basketball at that point.
Well, they looked really good and they were playing cohesively.
Then they won the next game in Santa Clara by 30.
Yeah.
And then rolled Central Michigan, won against Minnesota, beat Miami. Lost a close one to Penn State. They should have done, but then beat UCLA. They had that West Virginia win in overtime.
And everybody forgot last season.
And if I'm Ohio State, next year, I would try to load up games in November and December and February and try to have like four games in the month of January. Just do that. We'll just play four games and just go to the next one.
I don't think that's feasible.
Or release a team calendar and just put a different name on January's month. Call it February 1 and February the 2nd. February the
2.0.
Yeah, 2.0. Do that.
Instead of leap year, we're just leaping this month.
Leap month. But yeah, so what else have we got to go? Yeah, we're 21 days away from March Madness, the tournament reveal. Do we really know? Like, there's, I think there's three teams right now that have fewer than four losses among the big teams. UConn, Houston, and Purdue all have three losses.
Which are the top three betting favorites, plus 400 for UConn, plus 700 for Houston and Purdue.
Okay. I tell you, I will give you UConn, Purdue, and Houston, or the field. We don't know what the field is yet, I know. But if I tell you I will do that, UConn, Houston, and Purdue, or the field, which way are you going?
I think I'm going to go the field. I really like Houston. Yeah. Chances, though. But I think I would have to take the field.
Jen?
I would take the field.
I think I would, too. I don't even know. Like, even if you added two more teams in there, I don't care. Pick any two teams you want to put in there with them.
And that's the thing. Is like, you're going to find whatever team is the one that makes the run.
Yeah.
Nobody saw coming.
Yeah. I just...
Because that's just how it always is.
I think that's how it's going to work. That we will actually, yeah, I think that's what we're going to see is that it's going to be just because you can't predict this stuff in college basketball anymore because of the one and dones and because of the how much teams use that 3-point shot if they get hot at the right time. We've seen two number 16 seeds beat number one seeds recently.
Do you think that changes a little bit next year because all of the COVID eligibility will be up? And you've had so many of these teams, like the mid-major teams especially, that have been so veteran. Like, I kind of, we were talking this morning, San Diego State is a 75-1 right now to win the national championship. And I kind of enjoy that bet because they're an older, more experienced team. Like, Jaden Ledee, if he was still at Ohio State, probably would have graduated 2 years ago, but he's still playing basketball for San Diego State. They made a run last year, and it just seems like, you know, they have all the ingredients to possibly make a run again.
With the mid-majors, with the way that they have been able to take advantage of that COVID year, you get more veteran players in there. It just seems like, though, the really good ones aren't staying there 5 years. Either going to the NBA or they're going to transfer to another top school. You know what I mean?
Right.
I understand.
If you've had the four, like we've seen guys that, that will play 3 or 4 years at a school, but they still have the eligibility and they're they've played their way out of that team.
But you also have a lot of guys like a Jaden Ledee that had to leave a bigger school and now they're taking advantage of that. I mean, I don't know. I just wonder if we'll see a different landscape in college basketball next year than we have the past couple.
And Dutcher's still there, right? Brian Dutcher's still the head coach there for San Diego State.
I believe so.
Longtime Michigan assistant. Yep, who was there with the Fab Five with the Fisher and then followed Fisher to San Diego State, and he's been there ever since. They made the NCAA Finals last year, NCAA Tournament Finals. So, all right, coming up next, we're going to be joined by our good friend John Gerber. He's the host of From the Rough Podcast, writer for Golf Central Magazine, and golf betting expert. Gerb joins us next, 97.1 The Fan.
The sound of Paul Keel's calling a Buckeye game is erotic.
Oh, yes.
Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Instead of annoying national people talking to you this weekend, we've opted for annoying local people. This is Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday. Tito, Jen, and Ryan with you. I reached out to Maddie Andrews, a voice of the Ohio State women's basketball team and sideline reporter on the football team, and just an all-around decent human being.
Good dude.
And he did confirm, yes, if Ohio State wins any one of their last three games on the women's side, they clinch the number one seed in the Big Ten tournament. So hopefully they get it done today. If not, they get another shot against Michigan, and then they play at Iowa. So they see one win in their last three games. Somebody else who gets a lot of wins, though, is our golf betting expert, writer for Golf Central Magazine, host of From the Rough podcast, John Gerber, joining us now on the Bryant Heating and Cooling System Fan Guest Hotline. Gerb, let's start off by how are you looking on your picks for the overall winners, top 10s, top 20s, and head-to-heads this week?
Yeah, it's not looking great, unfortunately. We had a little bad luck. Some of those guys got in the tequila, I think, a little bit this week. There were seven withdrawals at the beginning of the event, and we had two of them. So we didn't start off very well. But we have a chance with Maverick McNealy to jump in that top 20. That's about how we're looking. But, you know, I think it's really going to be tough to catch, Jake Knapp having a four-shot lead. But, you know, this is one of those tournaments that, you know, you're going to see a lot of up and coming rising stars like this Sami Valimaki from Finland. And, you know, most people don't know who he is, but he has seven international wins and he's a 25-year-old guy that can hit the ball as far as anybody on the PGA Tour.
So a weird question here. So Jake Knapp, he shot 64, 63 the last two rounds. He has a four shot lead, which, if you lead by four shots going into the last round, it's very expected that you should win the tournament. You should be able to hold off lead. Is it, for a younger player or for somebody who has had a lot of success, a lot of wins on the tour, is it easier or harder with a big lead? Like, do you think you feel more pressure because you got a big lead you have to win versus if you're in a tight match or coming from behind?
Well, that's a tough question. It kind of depends on the individual. I mean, if you look at the leaderboard, there's only two wins on the PGA Tour in the top six. You have two wins by Eric Van Rooyen and Matt Wallace. They're eight shots back. Those are the only guys that have won on the PGA Tour. So all these guys are new. And, you know, the pressure is definitely going to come to him. But, you know, he has a great advantage. You know, having that five-shot or four-shot lead, five-shot lead, he's one of the longest guys out there. And there's, you know, Sami Valimaki, like we said, four shots back. He has the firepower to potentially, you know, catch him. But, you know, he hasn't won on the PGA Tour either. So that pressure trying to get your first win certainly does something to those guys, no matter who they are.
So you mentioned new players. So where have all of these guys just come from? Are they all, like, from the Korn Ferry Tour? Or why is it that we're seeing so many of them?
Yeah, a lot of guys are Korn Ferry. A lot of guys are coming over from the DP World Tour. You know, this is not one of the bigger field events, so it's going to give the opportunity for some of these guys that play over there that have that status. You know, the reworking of the PGA Tour and DP World Tour is giving these guys a lot of opportunities to come over and play events like this. You know, Puerto Rico will be an event like that in a few weeks. It's an opposite field event from Bay Hill. So you'll see a lot of those European guys come over and names that you haven't heard of. And listen, this guy, this Sami Valimaki, if you watch him play today, he looks a little bit like Miss Doubtfire out there. But I'll tell you what, the guy can really play some golf, and he's kind of an old school throwback golfer.
John Gerber joins us, host of From the Rough podcast, writer for Golf Central Magazine, and golf betting expert for us. You mentioned withdrawals, and I know there was like a couple of live tour withdrawals a previous week or recently in Mexico as well. There's been talk about, like, is it food poisoning? What else? Have you heard anything about why all these players have been withdrawing?
This week is certainly Mexico sometimes is a little dicey place. Puerto Vallarta is probably the safest place. I played this golf course in that area. It's pretty safe, but you know, some of these guys they're so used to the U.S. maybe potentially drinking the water or not used to the food or something like that. But this is something that is a rarity. Like I said, seven withdrawals before the event started. So yeah, it's just a little carelessness or, you know, maybe the air and maybe the food. It's everybody's body's different when they're traveling for sure. But, you know, big news next week on the live for sure with Anthony Kim coming back.
Well, and I'm looking at the leaderboard and I mean, there's just a bottleneck of people tied for, you know, tied at 9-under, 8-under. Like, how is this happening?
Well, they're all really, Knapp is really the only one that's separating
from
the field.
Yeah, it's crazy.
We had Keith Mitchell on our card, and he sits there a lot of shots back, but he started five over after three holes. That's something you do, JT. So,
yeah.
You know, for him to come back after that, you know, if he didn't have that, he would be right there in the mix and somebody that certainly could put some pressure on Knapp with his length and his experience on the PGA Tour. So, you know, Griot might make a move today, but, you know, Knapp's going to have to come backwards for any of these guys that sit there maybe at 11 or 10 under par for him to catch him.
I'm glad you brought up Anthony Kim, because I know that he hasn't played since, well, like 2012, since he last played. And now he is, he had like an Achilles injury, a ruptured Achilles tendon back then. And he hasn't played at all since then. And now all of a sudden he's popping up on the LIV Tour as one of the wild cards, is what it's being called right now. Not affiliated with any of the 13 four-man teams they have there. But that's a huge deal. Like, Anthony Kim for a while was a damn hot name in golf.
Yeah, he was that guy, right? He was that up-and-coming star on the PGA Tour. If you watch some of those Ryder Cups, I mean, he really energized the Ryder Cup team. Guys loved playing with him. He's one of those gunslingers, right? And he's not really scared of much. But, yeah, he had that unfortunate injury, and he filed the insurance policy, and one of the things in the insurance policy was he couldn't play on the PGA Tour. Again, I think he signed for something like $30 million or something like that. But he wasn't able to play on the PGA Tour. But the key word there is the PGA Tour.
Right.
So now he's on LIV, and I'm in Dallas now, and I have a lot of friends that's been playing with him over the last couple of years, and they're telling me his game is as good as it was when he was playing the tour. So I think this is a fantastic move for LIV. I don't think they'll disclose how much they paid him, but he certainly won't be the only time that he plays on the LIV, and maybe he'll get his own team.
Got to get your boy Robert Gomez over there, right?
I saw him a couple of weeks ago.
You used to love that guy.
We'll pass on that for now.
Okay.
We'll pass on that.
Has anything you've seen in the last couple of weeks made you think differently about a player's chances coming up in the Masters?
I'm curious to see. I just had a conversation with Ryan. I'm curious to see how Koepka is. Reason being, I know he hasn't been healthy and he's been trying to kind of relax a little bit. He's going to play next week, so I'm curious to see how he is in terms of his health and how he plays next week. And Rahm's a little bit of a question mark, right? We're going to see how potentially the LIV will affect him, maybe not playing, you know, four rounds,
right?
You know, if things like that and that type of competitive, you know, competitive atmosphere as it used to likes going into the Masters. He's not going to get that going into the Masters this year. So it'll be curious to see how Rahm defends his title, not being able to under that type of pressure going into the Masters.
Does something like that, like when you hear the three rounds thing, you know, versus the four rounds of competitive golf, but they can play just as many rounds, you know, in their practice rounds and stuff to make up for that. Is missing that fourth round that big of a deal?
Yeah, no substitute for competition, right? I mean, you know, practice rounds, you know, you can foot wedge it out there in the practice rounds like you normally do on a regular round of golf. You can't do that in a competitive round. And also, you know, your mind works different, you know, getting in and out of those types of shots and getting your mind trained to play four rounds as opposed to three rounds. And it's just a different lax atmosphere. And like I said, I'm curious to see how he does mentally defending his title at the Masters.
In the practice round also, I can use my ambidextrous chipper club, right? But I can't use it in a real round, correct?
Didn't we throw that away last time?
I picked it out of the trash, dude. It's still in the bag. So
you gotta reshaft it.
I mean, new grips. I use it so much. But Gerb, thanks for the time, buddy. What's going on at the depot
for you guys? You got a second?
Yeah.
I have a question about the what's the rumor up there about the Ohio State basketball job? Is coming from, you know, outside of Columbus? I know the new GM is the Texas A&M. Are they not trying to go down and get Buzz? Or is their buyout too big?
The buyout is kind of big, but yeah. I mean, this guy's an expert in buying out, I don't know, Jimbo Fisher.
Right.
So I think, honestly, there's a lot of names floating around, but we're not going to really know. And it's like, what is Gene going to do, Gene Smith? Because, you know, he's stepping down, but Bjork's up here too. So it's... I don't know. It's just a big mystery for right
now. Yeah, they had some preliminary talks with that basketball coach down at Florida Atlantic, I heard, that has had some success down there. But Dusty May, I'm not sure if not much can get done until after the tournament. You know, you can't really do a whole lot then. I think they've got their eye on Dusty May, though. I think that if the Miller down at Xavier, I think they would have some interest in him as well. But it's still way too early to tell on that stuff.
And Rick Pitino is having a hell of a time at St. John's.
Oh, God.
So,
yeah, Rick Pitino, yes.
I'm really hoping that they bring him in.
I hear the K-State coach is a little bit of a hot topic too. But I mean, I would do anything I could to get Mick Cronin to come there, wouldn't you?
I'd like Cronin. I do like him. Yeah, I don't know if he'd be. He hasn't had the success I want at UCLA, but yeah, it's a possibility, I believe. Let's close out with the Depot. What's going on up there for you guys?
I think it's snowing there, isn't it? So I think we're. I don't think we're.
Snow's gone.
Nobody wants to hit snowballs out there. So, yeah, as soon as the weather gets going, you know, Columbus is very bipolar when it comes to the weather. So as soon as the weather gets above 50 degrees, we'll be the indoor facility will be open and we'll be ready to we'll be ready to kick off the spring.
He's at Jay Gerber, PGA Pro. We talk to him often. He's the writer for Golf Central Magazine, host of From the Rough podcast, and sports betting expert. Gerber, we'll talk again soon, buddy.
I appreciate you guys having me on. Have a good weekend.
You bet. That was John Gerber. Always love having him on. Coming up next, the NCAA continues to lose. We'll talk about that. Fan Sports Sunday on The Fan.
If you've recently seen a photo of an older Baker Mayfield fresh off a bender,
it's just Bo Bishop.
Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
Just because it's the weekend doesn't mean we shut up. This is Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday, Tito Jan and Ryan Baker with you. Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate that. John Gerber just joined us. Appreciate him joining us every week as well with his golf betting tips. Just trust the system. He's had a bad week this week, I think. They're off a little bit, but still, I'm telling you, if you follow him throughout the year, we know you will make money.
Well, right. We're getting to the point where, I mean, we talked about it. There were brand new guys showing up left and right.
And there were like 7 withdrawals. So yeah. That you can't. That's hard to account for.
I feel like the golf world this year, what little bit I've paid attention, is very hard to bet because you've had like over 100-1 odds guys winning tournaments every week.
Which Scotty loves. Right?
Well, listen, when you bet on the whole field event, you're going to win one of them.
That's what you do, right? You bet everybody to win, place
a
show.
Penny down.
I'm pretty sure he was so angry this past week not being able to bet on the cruise.
Oh, could you imagine?
Like, I'm sure like his leg was shaking the whole time.
Like, no, I'm going to ask him tomorrow and be like, how much did
there's
you?
A photo out there. You can, if you look, it's on one of the Facebook posts of him trying to get a group of people to do a dice game right out there on the cruise ship. Like, hey, let's shoot some dice, you know. Anybody want to play craps, huh? How far do you think I can throw this? So that kind of stuff, you know. He found something to bet on out there, though. But
I'll give you 5-1 that Tyvus eats sausage this morning for breakfast.
Watch the next bite. Yeah, that kind of thing. So the NCAA tried to enforce their own rules about pay for play and recruiting, and a federal judge in Tennessee on Friday put a preliminary injunction against them on that. So they cannot enforce their own rules for pay for play as of right now. And basically, it is the wild, wild west. And I saw this article in The Athletic. Stuart Mandel wrote it, who covers college football for them, and said it's the entire plot of blue chips is obsolete, which is true.
Right.
You remember when they got the tractor, Penny Hardaway's mom got a house, Neon got a car, and all that stuff now can go on in the NCAA. The NCAA has no power anymore. And it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because if there's no rules with NIL that can be enforced, then it's going to be crazy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're going to see it even more so as players are opting to stay with their college teams and go. I mean, one and done is probably going to be a thing of the past. If they can stick around with their school or even go to another school and make more money and then get better at you know, whatever it is that they're playing, and then go on to be a pro. But they'll get more money. I mean, we talked about it today with Zach Edey. We're going to see it with Caitlin Clark. I mean, hell, I would do it too. And get your whole like education, get a diploma, and then go out into the real world.
Baker brought up Mike Conley earlier.
Yeah.
And I wonder if Conley would have stuck around for a sophomore year if there was NIL. I don't think Odin would have, because Odin was 47 years old and already breaking down.
Right.
So I think the examples of Zach Edey and possibly a Caitlin Clark are going to happen, but for the most part, the stars, they're going to go and make more money and still have opportunities to get endorsements and money like that. Like a Caitlin Clark, if she stays in Iowa, there's a good chance that she can make more money from businesses in Iowa and Iowa backers
sure.
than she could with if she went pro. She might lose some of that from the Iowa people.
Right.
And her salary in the WNBA may not be as much. And Zach Edey, I don't know how much marketing opportunities he has in the NBA, because we mentioned, does he even have a career in the NBA?
I don't
so he's probably better off getting NIL money.
Yeah. I've never heard him speak.
I haven't either.
Have you heard him speak, Ryan?
Not that I remember.
See, I don't know what he sounds like. He might not be able to speak.
Do you remember the movie Bedazzled with Brendan Fraser and Elizabeth Hurley, where she's the devil and gives him three wishes? And one of him is he wants to be like a successful athlete, make all kinds of money.
Right.
And she makes him like this 7 foot to 300-pound dominant basketball player.
The guy we create in, like, EA Sports games.
And, like, every time I see Zach Edey, I think of that movie.
That's a good one. Yeah, I wonder if, you know, with the money being thrown around for these, and it's going to keep getting, and by the way, it's going to get paid out, and ticket prices are going to keep going up. You know, all these season tickets for college basketball and college football games will keep going up, and they'll pay, and they'll be asking for donations all the time. There has to be some kind of rule in place at some point. There has to be some kind of limitations, I would think, on the pay for play and on the NIL stuff. Doesn't there? Or do you care?
Oh, yeah. No, I care, because you want it to be fair across the board. And, I mean, we see that's why Nick Saban has left Alabama, because, you know, not as many big-name people were going to Alabama because they were getting bigger and better opportunities elsewhere. And so it's just like, you want it to be fair across the board, but at the same time, like, if you're a fan of Ohio State, if you're a fan of Michigan, you want all of the money to be thrown at recruits, so that way they come here and they stay here for a while. It has to change, because if it doesn't, then we're just going to continue down this road and it's just going to get crazier.
Do you want it to be fair?
Because,
like, as Ohio State fans, I don't think anybody who's in Ohio State wants it to be fair.
I want it to be fair from a standpoint of, if Michigan keeps staying, okay, you know, relevant, and they're good, and they constantly beat Ohio State, then that's not fair.
I don't think it's ever going to be fair, because some institutions and right. fan bases just aren't going to be able to pay the
That's
money
the other
that
thing.
Others are, but there has to be some kind of rules and guidelines.
Which is why we're going to see an entirely different, all of this is going to boil down to, we're creating, out of the NCAA, we're taking the top however many football right. schools, and we're going to just pick them up and move them outside of the NCAA realm, and then everything else will stay the same within the NCAA, and it will be more fair and balanced that way.
I'm fine with Ohio State being the Ewings, the J.R. Ewings. No. Of, like, I don't want fair. I want Ohio State to, I don't want fair. I don't, I want Ohio State to be elite in football every single year. I want to see Ohio State have more advantages than any other team in college football. I don't want fair. I want to rule the oil world.
I mean, that makes total
sense.
Like
Michigan be Cliff Barnes.
That would be great.
No one else gets that reference, Jen. I'm glad you laughed.
But we won't see that, though.
Your
That's
mom
the thing.
Gets it.
We aren't going to be seeing, I mean, I think about I went to OU, the MAC. They're not going to be relevant.
No.
At all.
Nope.
You're not going to see a SWAC school be relevant in anything. So it's just like, we need to get to the point where they have to lay down regulations and figure everything out, because it's just going to get worse if it doesn't.
Coming up next, the NBA All-Star Game sucked again.
Sure did.
Can it, should it be fixed? We'll do that next. Fan Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific.
The Fan.
We firmly believe it's appropriate to tailgate before a youth soccer game.
You're listening to Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday, Tito, Jen, Ryan, Bake with you. Thank you for spending part of your Sunday with us. The NBA All-Star Game happened again.
Yeah, it did.
With incredibly dumb scoring numbers. Right?
Yeah, no team had scored over 200 points, so they made sure they did that.
Larry Bird, among others, before the game, asked the All-Stars to play hard tonight. To Portman, you have the best players in the world together. You've got to compete, and you've got to play hard, and you've got to show the fans how good they really are. Larry Bird comes from a different generation when they played defense in the All-Star games, and they played hard in the All-Star games. That no longer happens.
No.
And I thought about this. You can't fix it by just saying, oh, $1 million to the winners or whatever. That's not going to fix it because that's a drop in the bucket for these guys. But you know they've got that super max contract possibility for players. Some of the things on there include you have to be the NBA, all-NBA first, second, or third team, defensive player of the year in the preceding season or in two seasons during the preceding three seasons, or an NBA MVP award during the three preceding seasons to be eligible for that supermax, which is 35% of the salary cap and could have an 8% annual escalation.
Wow.
So I thought about this. What if, and the owners would never go for it, but it would certainly make the players try harder, I have to believe.
What, provide whoever the MVP is get that supermax?
No. Members of the winning team.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone would then be eligible for Supermax next time around for the winning team. Now, some guys are already in the Supermax. And in that case, you'd have to put another provision there where if they, like, you know, LeBron's obviously in the Super, I don't know if LeBron's in Supermax anymore or not, but he was.
Yeah.
But, you know, Jaylen Brown signed the Supermax for Boston. So, obviously, winning would not incentivize him any further. But you could also say that the members of the winning team could either be have that put into them, they're eligible for the Supermax next time around, or if they want to opt out of their contract a year early, they can.
Oh.
Now, I don't think they would do it. I think that's too big of a change. And but that would guarantee you a competitive game, I believe.
I was going to say load management game. You get either, you know.
Oh, that's another one. Yes. You can get five more games and load management taken. That's right.
That would make that's a lot better. Of guys play, I think, even harder.
It would.
Because, you know, they love their load management games.
But do we really want, like, obviously, the all-pro NFL Pro Bowl is dead.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, okay, and they even acknowledge that.
Right.
And they turned it into more of a skills competition-centric weekend with a fun rip flag football game kind of thrown in the mix.
The NHL game is not a true all-star game anymore.
No.
So, baseball and basketball are the ones holding on to it to a certain extent.
Well, and I like the baseball one, and it's not as special as it used to be because now Interleague is like every day.
That's
and
right.
And everyone sees each other the entire season now. But I still love the home run derby, and I love just to see all of the players come out for the national anthem, and they're all lined up down the, you know, the base path.
Right.
And it's just, it's fun to watch. Obviously, there's nothing else on TV that night. So I enjoy watching that. I didn't even watch a minute of the All-Star game. I watched the competition the night before, but I didn't even watch the game last week.
But I'm done with all All-Star games now, Jen. I don't want any more of them. I want them all gone. It just, and part of it is because we put such an emphasis on the money they're making and on, you know, have you won a championship? There's so much more emphasis on that than there was 40 years ago, 30 years ago, in the interleague play thing. Also, like, I would hate to see Elly De La Cruz make the All-Star game this year
and
get hurt where he's out for the season after that.
Exactly.
I know it doesn't happen very often.
You shut your mouth.
But I'm saying, though, that's where I'm at. Like, same thing.
We don't want that to happen.
don't wish that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
I don't. That's what I'm worried about, though, is, and, you know, we talk about how times have changed with storming the court and how something big's going to happen again. It's something may have kind of big happened in Wake Forest and Duke where it's going to have to be changed and taken away altogether. If you have somebody who is in an All-Star game who's making $50 million a year for 5 years for his team and gets hurt by some freak accident, people are going to say, you shouldn't be playing these games. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I feel. Because interleague play makes the All-Star game for baseball a lot less exciting for me. Interleague play and free agency changed all of that.
Yeah.
Because it used to be that was the one time you could see, like, Nolan Ryan against Pete Rose when he was with the Angels and Rose with the Reds. Like, because the Angels never in the World Series.
Right.
You know, it's the one time you could see these guys.
Yeah.
And it was a big deal. It's not a big deal anymore to see Shohei Ohtani against a National League or American League team anymore.
Well, it's like, what? Maybe play like a softball game. Bring in the walls a little bit, like the outfield walls a little bit. I don't know. Like,
I would just say give the players a few days off, or don't give the players a few days off. Just keep playing the schedule. Just wipe it off altogether. End the season a few days early so we're not playing November World Series games. You can have all-star voting after the end of the season and say who's, you know, who the best players are, right. All that, all MLB, all AL, all NL, whatever.
Well, and then the thing is, though, is that, you know, if the big name guy, like if Mike Trout backs out of going to the All-Star game,
right.
People get really mad at him. But like you saw Tom Brady, even if he wasn't in the Super Bowl, he wasn't going to the Pro Bowl.
No.
But they didn't mind that he wasn't there for that. But how dare Mike Trout,
right.
Not show up for the baseball All-Star game?
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. It's just like there's too many different thoughts and feelings on who should be there, who shouldn't be there, and whatever. And it's just meh.
Yeah. The game, I mean, the days of, you know, Walter Payton would get like 18 carries in the Pro Bowl and things like that. That's
just, why don't we do in these All-Star games now? Why don't we do like the normal exhibitions, the dunk contest, the 3-point, right. The home run derby, yada, yada, all that stuff. And then have athletes from other sports,
right.
Play the game.
Oh, that would be kind of, I mean, they do that with the, there's a celebrity game on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ever watches it because it's like the rising star game, and then they do the the celebrity game.
Yeah, but the celebrity game is like all kinds of just professional athletes. Just professional athletes from other sports. I know we'd have an issue with that because
and that's the other thing.
If an NFL player rolls an ankle and yada yada.
But. Well, that's like the old superstars competition they used to have with Howard Cosell when Joe Frazier almost drowned when he was swimming.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that happened one time. It was in a swimming competition. Damn near drowned.
Oh, boy.
When you'd see those guys out there, you'd see Steve Garvey, Ron Santa,
at least Joe Frazier didn't have it in his contract for his team.
That's true.
I'm sure.
That's a good point, right?
But what about, like, saying, I don't know, like, Giannis plays Anthony Davis in NBA 2K? And, like, you know, that would be kind of, I would rather, I think, watch that.
Yeah, I just
if we get to that, let's get rid of them.
Yeah.
I'm done watching them all. I just don't, nothing interests me in those anymore. The skills competitions are kind of fun, but I don't think it's worth taking, you know, a week off in the NBA during the season to do that. But those are just a couple of interesting ideas. Jen, I like your idea about the load management thing where if you're on the team that wins, you get a few more, you get a little bit of a break on the load management thing as far as it comes to the awards. I think that would definitely happen.
It doesn't affect your, you know, your max standing.
Right. Yeah, I think that'd be good. I like that idea.
That's like a $150 gift certificate to like, I don't know, 7-Eleven or something.
I spent all week coming with my idea and you off the top of your head had a better idea. That kind of pisses me off. That's okay, though.
Or we could give them tickets to Ohio State women playing Michigan.
Right.
We're
going to do that in the final hour of the program.
Yes. Tune in and listen because we never really give away stuff on the weekend shows. But, you know, since I'm the one who doles out tickets to winners. Yeah, it's going to happen.
We give away our morals a lot, though. But coming up next, we'll get you caught up in anything that happened. It will happen today in the world of sports. We'll do that next Fan Sports Sunday on The Fan.
The only show where sports talk is eclipsed by food talk.
Oh, no.
Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan. Garnish your Bloody Mary with sports talk. You're listening to Fan Sports Sunday.
Yes, you are. Fan Sports Sunday. Tito and Jen with you. Ryan Baker back there running things. Thank you so much for being with us for this final hour. Coming up in the next segment at around 1:20 or so, we will replay the Kevin McGuff interview from earlier today. The Buckeyes are taking on Maryland today at 2 o'clock. How long is that McGuff interview, Ryan, so I can give a more specific time to our listeners?
Hold on a second. Let me pull this.
Should I ask you beforehand? But Maryland's taking Ohio State today at 2 o'clock, and senior day over there for them. J.C. Sheldon wraps up her 5-year career.
I have this as from the time you introduce him to the time he says thank you.
Yep,
6 minutes and 11 seconds.
Okay, so it'll probably be around 1:24 when we replay that interview, and he did not say bite me this time.
I wish he would have, though.
I know. I wish he would have owned up to it.
And how many times have you been told bite me by someone in your life?
Oh, see? I can't even. I
was going to make a Marv Albert joke, but I'm not going to do it.
Yes!
So we will play that for you, and also we're going to give away tickets at some point here in that next segment as well, so make sure you stick around because Ohio State plays that team up north, get to avenge that loss coming up.
That was his back, right?
Yes.
It was like,
It was.
Okay,
it was
let's just be subtle about it. No, let's not give any more details about it. Look.
From downtown.
I am. Don't do that either. I don't know if you guys know this or not.
That's iconic, though.
I'm on a damn short rope, and you're trying to beat me.
Well, that's a you problem. That is a me problem.
That's not
a me problem.
That's not our fault.
I understand
that's
that.
That's on you, buddy.
But you guys are like waving alcohol in front of my face, saying, hey, take a drink. Here, it won't hurt you.
Feel good.
And then I do it, and then yes.
What's the old saying, Tito? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink.
Yeah.
But you guys are trying to make me drink, and I'm not going to do it. What else today? Ohio State Maryland game at 2:00, 1:45. We'll get Maddie Andrews over there on the AM side. And again, if Ohio State wins, I've confirmed this, they clinch the number one seed overall in the Big Ten tournament.
Take that for data.
It was confirmed by Maddie Andrews. Ohio State just needs to win one of their last three games. Let's get it done today on Senior Day. It would be a nice time to have that happen. McGuff, we talked to him about that. We'll do all that coming up later on. Ohio State men play Michigan State at 4:00 right here on The Fan.
Whoop-a-da-doo.
It's Ohio State. I don't know what the record is against Tom Izzo. I have no idea. I feel like it's bad. You know, I don't know. It seems like Ohio State rarely beats Tom Izzo.
I'm trying to type in, but my computer just pooped on itself.
But so that's coming up today, and Ohio State is, game three in the Jake Diebler era.
Yeah.
Undefeated against ranked teams so far in Jake Diebler. They beat Purdue, but lost to Minnesota. Minnesota wasn't ranked, I don't believe either, so that's just off the top of my head. Didn't look great against Minnesota, but we'll talk about that later on as well. Crew get a 1-0 win. Go ahead. What do you got?
Tom Izzo is 35-19 all-time against the Buckeyes. This is according to MSUSpartans.com.
And the joke I had last time was he was so upset because Ohio State let go of Holtman because he does well against Holtman. So that game coming up today, 4:00 right here on The Fan. The Crew get a win 1-0 over Atlanta. Cucho Hernandez.
Coach.
Of course, scored the only goal. Next up at Minnesota United FC at 2:00 next Saturday. Reds and Guardians are both in action today. They played yesterday. Reds won 4-0. Will Benson backflipped a home run?
Yes, he did. I don't understand why he had to do that.
Did he flip the bat and it hit a home run as he flipped the bat?
That'd be impressive.
Or he hit the home run and then he flipped the bat.
He hit the home run and with a little.
You know what though? I can see why he did that. You know, people would be like, "Oh, don't flip a bat." Well, it's the first game.
Spring training.
I know it's spring training, but at the same time, you just cranked a homer.
It means nothing.
Go for it.
I don't know. I'll be the old grumpy man.
Live your best life.
I'll be the old grumpy man. I don't care. No, act like you've been there, right?
No, live your best life. It's spring training. Look, we're talking about baseball.
When I was with Damon's Restaurants, George Steinbrenner was a franchisee.
Yes.
I love Damon's.
He had a couple down in Tampa, one of them in a hotel. I happened to be down there 1 year for work, staying at that hotel. When spring training was going on.
Did you meet George Costanza?
Did not meet George Costanza. I did see when, and I was told this, every time Steinbrenner was in town, everybody working in the hotel had to have a Yankees hat on.
Gross.
Grounds crew, front desk, general manager of the hotel, all had to have Yankees hats on.
So I remember when I worked on the Clippers TV crew.
Yep.
It was Clippers hats or Guardians hats.
That was it. Yep.
That was it.
That's all you could do.
That's fine.
It's not
the Yankees.
So
gross.
Yankees hats are when you're younger and you're running the streets looking for ladies, Yankees hats were money.
Did you have a red one like Fred Durst?
I did not. But okay. I had a Yankees hat that thing was magic. Ugh. I had a month run with that thing that was amazing.
I don't mean to be smirch. Any woman that you've had company with, I'm not trying to besmirch them. I'm just telling you, I don't think I want to go out with a woman who liked me because of a Yankees hat.
Did you give out gift baskets?
No, but I did sign some 8x10s.
Sure
there you
might.
Go.
No, but it was a conversation
I signed 5x7s, just so you know. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just saying you made the 8x10s. Mine were 5x7s.
It was a conversation starter. A lot of times you just need that icebreaker.
Did you actually pretend that you were like a diehard Yankees fan?
No, I told them that I thought the hat looked really cool, and that's why I liked it. I was actually a Reds fan. I didn't hate the Yankees. I still don't. To this day, but I thought this hat looked really cool. I like different things. You guys know that?
Yes. Yeah.
So it was like a grayish blue with like a cream front. And the same. I just thought the hat looked cool. And They did too, obviously.
You speak of this like someone would speak of like a pet they had when they were younger. Like, oh, it was so cute. You know, the description.
Imagine if you had a dog with you at the same time.
Wearing a Yankees hat.
Listen, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I wish you guys would have been there to see it.
So do I.
I have a friend who will, like, still to this day can't believe that I ever got rid of it.
Total turn off, in my opinion. You're like, oh, you're gross.
I was friends with the GM of the hotel down there at the time.
Yeah.
And he told me that whenever George was in town, when he was there, every key person had to have a walkie-talkie. They would keep track, tell each other where George is right now, because they wanted to make sure they were, you know, standing up straight, smiling, whatever, all those kinds of stuff. But they made sure, like, they would say, you know, George is coming down the elevator right now. George out in the parking lot. George headed up over to the Damon's, the restaurant, and all stuff. And they paid very close attention to that. And I had also heard that he was, a lot of the ways he was with the Yankee managers, kind of the way he was with some of his hotel and restaurant managers.
Like, why change?
Right, like, you know.
That's just how he does business. Did you only see the back of his head?
I never saw him. I saw Reggie Jackson.
Oh.
I saw a 5-year-old kid asking for an autograph, and Reggie just said, no, I'm not doing that right now, and walked past him. I saw Bob Lemon out there, I think it was. Dick Williams out there. I saw some old-time managers and players, but...
Billy Martin?
Did not see Billy Martin.
He would have kicked you for sure.
Ed Whitson to me. Reds beat the Guardians 4-0. Reds take on the Angels today at 3:05. Guardians Mariners at 3:10. CBJ hosts the Rangers tonight at 6. The Rangers won 10 in a row, have not lost in a month. Artemi Panarin, otherwise known as the man crush of Ryan Baker, 32 goals, 46 assists, 78 points, first in the East. Ryan will probably wear a Yankees hat and a Rangers jersey out tonight to see how that works for him.
That's blasphemy.
So gross.
That's blasphemy.
So
I will build Artemi a garage, though, if he wants.
That's what it is. If that's what would get it back here.
I would build it myself. Yes,
I know you would. Number 17, Kentucky set a school record for most points scored against a ranked opponent, beating number 13, Alabama, 117-95. Amazing. We're 21 days, we said, until March Madness.
Mm-hmm.
I heard Scotty say he likes Kentucky. Didn't he say at the end of your On the Money show?
He did not say that. He said he got Kentucky and Kansas at like 30-1 this morning, both. Okay. And he just thought that was good odds because, you know, I mean, you know how it is. He's going to have, there's 68 teams in the field.
Yes.
He's going to have money on 32 of them.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
I mean, those are good odds.
Yeah, I agree. But I don't. We talked about it. We all take the field over Houston, UConn, and Purdue.
So I'm watching. Speaking of basketball, right now, yeah. I'm watching LSU and Tennessee, the women's game.
We
right
have
now.
That on in here too.
Yeah. So Kim Mulkey, a lot of people don't like her, and they've bashed her for her choice of clothing and this
right.
and that.
Like she killed a Muppet.
I was just going to say, so like, wear what you want. I don't care. But like this thing with the feathers all over mm-hmm. it's like Randy Johnson hit a bird with a fastball at a Gem in the Holograms concert. I mean, like, what are we doing
I love
here?
The Gem in the Holograms reference.
That was my sister's perfect. Favorite show growing up, so I know. But
I
like, it's insane. What, like, I wear what you want, do you? But I mean, that kind of looks ridiculous
she's
with all
this,
the feathers.
Like, chartreuse jacket on and like pink pants, and she's got like these feathery things on the sleeves, and she's a train wreck. I'm sorry, I can't with her. I know she's a good basketball coach.
And there's Kermit the Frog in the background.
Yep, she's strangling him to make him into a parka.
We do have a big birthday to celebrate today.
Who?
Someone turned 75.
Still Timmy Hall?
Timmy Hall is going to be 40 tomorrow.
This guy's had 3 weeks worth of birthday celebrations.
It's this guy's birthday.
But to be the man, you got to beat the man.
Ric Flair, the
How
nation
is he
boy.
Still alive?
The, dude, I'm telling you, he's like the Keith Richards of professional wrestling.
He's pickled internally.
There's no way.
He's never going to die.
Love him.
You cannot tell me copious amounts of alcohol will not preserve you.
I'm telling you. That's the argument right there, yes.
I mean, his innards are formaldehyde by this point.
It's
this
amazing.
This guy survived a plane crash.
I know.
Yeah.
Yep. He survived a plane crash and survived the 80s, which also is another big deal.
And all kinds of women.
Oh, a few. Yes.
He is, you know, patient why? Zero for 5 different types of STDs.
He talked about this. No, wait, he did talk about this. He said the reason he was always so successful with ladies, you might think because of his attire. You might think it's because of his attitude and his fame. He said he wore a Yankees hat. All right, coming up next.
I believe him. That's true.
We talked to Kevin McGuff earlier. If you missed it, we'll replay that next. This is Fan Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts.
Wasting time has never been easier.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Live, local, and still slightly drunk.
I'm not drunk, all right? I just have a speech impediment.
This is Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday. I'm Tito. She's Jen. He's Ryan Baker. Thank you for tuning in right now. We're going to play the Kevin McGuff interview shortly. You don't do the tickets like now, or you do it before, like after the McGuff interview.
Ryan, what's easier for you? Let's ask the producer who has to deal with us. What's easier for you?
Let's just do it after, so that way I don't have to worry about dealing with phone calls while we start McGuff. So as soon as it's over, let's do that.
All right, welcome back. After you do that, I'll make the announcement when you can call in, and we will give more. Maybe Jen will make the announcement. Maybe we'll put that on her to name a certain caller. But just wait for now.
I mean, this was her idea.
It was her idea. Latest ESPN bracketology has 8 Big Ten teams in the women's field. OSU is a 1 seed, obviously. Future members, USC is a 2, UCLA is a 3, according to ESPN. Juju Watkins has been amazing this season. She scored 42 against number 11 Colorado in an 87-81 win. They'll play number 18 Utah today. Watkins this year, the freshman 6'3" guard who put up a lot of points against Ohio State to start the season.
Yeah.
Averaging 28.1 points, 7 rebounds, 3.4 assists, 2.6 steals, 1.6 blocks, 86.8% for the free throw line.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. Yep. So she's been incredible this year for.
And hey, guess what?
Yeah.
If there's another good Juju playing for USC, I like that.
There you go.
We had Juju Smith-Schuster previously.
That's right. That's the only school that has two good Jujus so far.
Jujus.
Right. All right. Let's do this now. We talked to Kevin McGuff, the Ohio State women's basketball coach, earlier. They play today 2 o'clock against Maryland with a chance to clinch the number 1 seed in the Big Ten tournament. Ryan, take it away. Now we are joined on the Bryant Heating and Cooling System Fan Guest Hotline by Ohio State women's head coach Kevin McGuff, the number 2 ranked Buckeyes in action today against Maryland. Coach, how you doing?
Good. Doing well. How are you guys?
Good. Thanks for taking time. I know you're very busy getting ready for this game against Maryland. And I'm curious, you've had a lot of let's get into this. Ricky Harris. Is she gonna be okay to play today?
Yeah, she's gonna be fine. She sprained her ankle, just tweaked it a little bit at Penn State, but said couple good days of rehab, she's good to go.
Awesome. Okay. Now, I know that you are going up against Maryland. They've got Brenda Freese, who's been there since, 2002. She's got an NCAA championship on her resume, been in the Sweet 16 11 times, Elite 8 last year. They're a little bit down this year, they're 16-10. Maryland's usually better than that. But are there certain things that you always know is going to happen against a Brenda Freese coach team, or does she mix it up a lot based on the talent each year? Is there something you can count on because you've coached against her so often?
Yeah, she kind of mixes it up based on the talent. She's done, obviously, an incredible job there. They're normally one of the most talented teams in our league, and she does a really good job coaching them as well. And so we've had a great rivalry with them over the years. We've had some really great games, and, most years we've been competing, at the top of the Big Ten. So we know we'll have a huge challenge today. They're very talented. They do a really nice job switching their defenses. So a lot that we have to do well to be successful today.
I know that you beat Maryland the first time, 84-76. What worked in that game that you want to carry over to this game and this matchup?
We were really good on offense, especially in the second half at Maryland. We're going to have to be, I think, better defensively today than we were then. We were really kind of sloppy in that game at Maryland on the defensive end, our transition defense. They're very quick up the court. They kind of play small ball. They play 5 guards at times, and so they can really get up the court quickly. They kind of space you out, and they shoot it well. So our transition defense, our defense in general, will have to be really good.
Last week, Kevin, we had you on. I mentioned after the segment, it sounded like you said "bite me" to me, but I went back and listened to it. You said "despite me," and it just I interrupted you. So it sounded like "bite me," but it wasn't. So I want to make sure we get that cleared up.
Oh my God!
But no, but I want to know. I want you to know this. You know how many times you guys have been outscored in the third quarter this year?
No, I do not.
Twice, just 2 times you've been outscored in the third quarter. I think it was UCLA was one of them, and then Iowa was the other one. But you've outscored the opponent, and so obviously that's a big thing to have in this. Are there certain, when you go to set your lineup for the third quarter, when you're in the locker room doing that, are there certain people on your team that you can just tell are dialed in a lot of the time, and that leads to having a big third quarter?
Yeah, you know, we've done a good job coming out of halftime. I think our kids, they get in the locker room, they talk about stuff amongst themselves before we even get in there, and we kind of get settled, get organized, and they've done a great job coming out of the locker room at halftime and really, you know, playing the game the way we want to play it. And our press lately in particular has been really good out of halftime, and so hopefully that can be the case today as well.
How important is it to you to get the number one seed in the Big Ten term and avoid having to play both Indiana and Iowa in the tournament?
Yeah, it would be great. I mean, certainly if we take care of business and that happens, that's awesome. But really, I'm just trying to keep everybody focused on just today, period, and then we'll try to get through today and see where we're at and move on to the next one.
God, it seems like Celeste Taylor's really been playing great lately. I think she had 7 steals the other night. And I know when she first announced she was transferring, you were excited about what she could do with the press, but it seems like it, just in recent games, it's like gone to another level.
Yeah, you know, just it's you know, our system is different and kind of unique, and it takes a little while to get used to it. And I just think every week that she's been here, she's gotten a little bit better. And it's been really fun to see. She's a great kid. I'm happy that she's playing well, and hopefully she can continue with this type of production.
Did you guys celebrate the fact that she hit the 1,500 career points, like, after the game?
You know what? We didn't, because I didn't know. So.
Sorry.
But we kind of caught up with that when we got back to practice.
Yeah, she called us, asked us to bring that up. She was a little disappointed.
Yeah.
So it's senior class gets honored today. It's a senior day for the Ohio State women. And I'm curious, what's that like for you as a coach? Yeah. The seniors know it's something different. Like, you got these some of these young ladies who you've had in the program the entire time. Some of you've only had for a brief time because they come in through his transfer portal. But what is it like for you on senior day?
Yeah, it's, you know, I try to keep it focused on the game as much as I can, but it is, you know, it is an interesting time to just really just try to kind of reflect on all the things that we've, you know, kind of been through and all the positive moments we've had. Like, people like J.C. Sheldon have been here 5 years, and I could tell you 50 stories about all of them, just how awesome they've all been. And so it's a great time to honor them, of course, reflect back a little bit, but then also just try to make sure we get everybody locked in on the game as well.
And then what's going to be the biggest key today for you against Maryland? Like, what is one thing that, you know, we have to do this if we're going to win?
I think transition defense is going to be critical. I think also they're going to play a lot of zone. They're going to switch their defenses. So we're going to have to be able to execute against their really good zone defense.
Can you brag on your daughter for a little bit? She had another big game, didn't she?
Yeah. She's doing well. She's doing great now at Belmont. And, so she's got a big one today as well. So.
Who do they have today?
Murray State.
Okay. All right. That's good. Yeah. She had like a, by the way, just so you know, I don't always make it a point to check the stats for the Belmont game, but I will tell you this. Every time after a Belmont game and it pops up on the box scores, my dad texts me and tells me.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so I just want you to know, my dad's obviously a big fan of the McGuff family as well.
That's fantastic.
Best of luck today. Go ahead and get a win, and then we'll talk again soon, Kevin.
Awesome. Thank you.
That was Kevin McGuff, head coach for the women's basketball team at Ohio State. Again, they play at 2 o'clock today against Maryland. If they get the win, they clinch the number one seed in the Big Ten tournament. But, Jen, they have 2 more games after this. One's a pretty big home game, right?
Yes, against Michigan this Wednesday night. And if you would like to go and bring a friend with you, you get 2 tickets. And we'll do caller number 5, if that's cool with Ryan. 614-821-9710 is the phone number. Good luck. And we'll get those tickets out to you for Wednesday night's game.
Hopefully they've already clinched by then. But if they haven't, it'd be a hell of a way to do it against that team up north.
I just want to see them beat the crap out of the team up north, because any chance we can get to watch an Ohio State team beat a Michigan team is a good thing.
A game we haven't played for a long time, Jen. They have a great home version of the game, too, is how many minutes will J.C. Sheldon play today? she has not played 40 minutes in a game, like, for the last 5 or 6 in a row. I think last time she played 40 was against Purdue. Maryland today, how many minutes will J.C. Sheldon play?
I'm going to say we'll see her for about 34 minutes.
I'm going to say 36.
Okay.
We'll see who's closer. Ryan, do you want to give a guess on that too or not? How many minutes will J.C. Sheldon play? I say 36. Jen says 34.
32 today.
32 for that one. Okay. We got a winner?
Well, I didn't get their name yet. I've got the person. I've got them on hold right now.
Congratulations to that person.
I'll let you know after the break.
Coming up next, the OSU men have a big game today in East Lansing. Is it possible that next year's team is going to miss a certain tournament for the first time? We'll talk about that next Fan Sports Sunday on The Fan.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Fan, Ohio Sports Desk. During weekend programming, pants are optional.
Look at my butt!
However, leather chairs may have been a bad choice. You're listening to Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday, here with you until 2 o'clock. Tito, Jen, Ryan, big birthday today.
But to be the man, you gotta beat the man!
75 years old today, Ric Flair.
Limousine riding, jet flying.
Yep.
He's got shoes that cost more than your car. These alligator shoes, they cost more than your car. Yes. Everyone wants to be rich. Or he said, some people want to be rich, some people want to be famous, but baby, everybody wants to be me.
Gosh, he was so good.
He really was. That was so awesome.
So good.
And
he wore Yankees hats.
And he wore Yankees hats,
and,
too.
And Michigan hats.
Yeah, he wore Michigan hats, too.
Yeah, I don't like that part.
Yeah, that part's gross.
Ohio State men have a big game today against Michigan State at 4 o'clock.
I mean, is it really big?
It is.
Huge. The biggest game they've ever played since Thursday night's game.
It's the third biggest game of Jake Diebler's coaching career.
I mean, he first loss last game. He was 3-0 till Minnesota.
That's right. I forgot the interim games. You're 3-0. Right. I forgot about the interim ones. Yes. Now, next season, when the Big Ten goes to 18 teams by adding USC, UCLA.
Why do they call them the Big Ten?
Oregon and Washington. They are changing the Big Ten tournament format for men's and women's tournaments. Only 15 teams will go to the tournament.
You got
to
be really bad.
The bottom three teams in the men's and women's side will not play in the Big Ten tournament.
Why are we coming up with these weird, uneven numbers for even numbered tournaments?
Your number one school needs to have 3 days of byes, right? Or 2 days?
Yes, it's what you get, a double bye if you're a top four seed. Seeds 5 through 9 get a single bye. So 10 through 15 have to play somehow, right? How's that going to work, though? 10 through 15.
This is like your 17.
I know, the
Big
Ten
thing,
yeah.
6 and 8.
You know, I'm saying what it says. It says that the maintain a double bye for each top four seeds, 5 through 9 get a single bye. Anyway. What this means, though, this year right now, Ohio State's men's team,
yeah,
out.
Well, they're the 13th seed out of the 14-team Big Ten right now. They were also the 13th seed last year.
They're next to last.
Next to last. Now, last year they had the run. They won 3 games, right, before losing to Purdue?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. I don't expect that this year, but I'm just saying, though, if Ohio State, whoever they hire a new head coach, whoever it's going to be, if there's a big transition year, because guys transfer out. Ohio State's got some attractive guys that could transfer. If Ohio State has a really bad year next year in the transition year with the new coach, new direction, they might not make the Big Ten tournament next year.
Ooh. Woof.
Which they made every year, because every year they've been in it because every team made it. But yes, they're going to that format. No,
Remember when they used to win it?
Yes.
Remember they used to play multiple
games?
They
would dominate. And it was like not even fun anymore because it was so lopsided.
Yeah, it was. But it's just, it's so tough. As we've expanded these conferences now, it just makes, like, I've often said that if the Big Ten really wanted to improve their performance in the NCAA tournament, schedule the Big Ten tournament a week earlier. Okay? Give your teams time off before the tournament. As opposed to, in theory, the top two teams of the Big Ten, whoever it is, say Purdue, Illinois, okay? Yeah. In theory, they should play for the Big Ten championship on Sunday before the tournament, right?
Right.
Then they got to turn around and play again on Thursday or Friday, one or the other.
Right.
So you're traveling. You don't have much. I would much rather.
I wonder if there's a rule about this. Because they all do it. Every league does it.
Every league does it, yes, because such a big lead up into the NCAA tournament draw and all that kind of stuff. But if you do that, or play the preliminary games, these ones they're talking about that, you know, play them the week before. You could still, if you want to play the championship on Sunday, that's fine. But I would want to make Purdue play 3 games in 3 days and then head to the tournament. Get an advantage that way.
And you never play back-to-back in the tournament.
No. You always have a day off there.
Yeah.
But if you're like Ohio State last year, if they would have won it out, they would have had to win, what, 5 games in the Big Ten tournament in a row? 5 games in 5 days? they'd have been gassed.
Yeah,
I would think. So, it seems to me like that's an idea for it.
I like the idea of keeping the bottom three at home, but at the same time, just bring them in. I mean, what's it gonna hurt?
Yeah, or
cut more out.
Yeah, like
why does everybody have to be in?
You know what the Ivy League does?
Well, they do the top two, don't they?
Top four.
Top four
play.
I love that.
That makes way more sense because you're going to get way better basketball.
We just crap on regular seasons all the time now for money.
Right. Yeah, that's right. But yeah, the Ivy League does just top four. And by the way, I think the fourth place team in the Ivy League is like 5-9 in the conference. Mm. Like there's three really good, I think it might be Cornell, Princeton, and Yale at the top.
It?
And then, yeah. Sorry. Well, I follow because Princeton's got a kid from UA who plays there for them.
Oh, that's right.
One of them has a Bradley kid, too, right?
Is there a Bradley kid?
Hilliard Bradley.
Well, Princeton,
Alaco,
I think.
That's Alaco. That's okay. Him. Matt Alaco. He started at UA. He grew up in UA and then moved to Bradley.
Gotcha.
But youth basketball, I played with UA. And so I remember seeing him quite about there. He was a hell of a ball player. Yeah, that is the Bradley kid, though. Yes. I should say Bradley is where he went to high school. But UA is where he grew up earlier before that. So, but yeah, they do the top four. And I'm okay with something like that. Or top eight. Just do top eight in the Big Ten if you want to do that, you know? That makes it a lot more meaningful down the stretch if you're fighting for that 8 or 7 seed.
Like last year, it would have been a cool story for us.
Sure.
If Ohio State would have made a run and won the Big Ten tournament.
Right. But
they really didn't deserve to be there the way they played last year.
No, I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that. I mentioned earlier that there was reports that they had talked to Dusty May, just preliminary talks, the guy from Florida Atlantic, about the coaching position. Obviously, nothing's been done for a while on this one. God, I don't know. We heard what Gerber mentioned about Mick Cronin. We didn't like that one, really.
I don't like that one.
I don't like
that
one at all. But I'm trying to think of who the best candidate would be.
I love that.
Bruce Pearl.
I like Bruce Pearl. I do.
I don't have a problem with Bruce Pearl.
He has an extremely large buyout, though. I think it's $17 million.
Is that what it is?
It's something like that.
Yeah, but Ross Bjork is good with buyouts.
Yes,
he knows
but
all
can,
about
can he raise that money right now to
$17 million?
Get the money?
Sure.
I mean, they're paying Holtman $13 million basically to go away. Can the basketball team get that much money right now? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it's hard telling. You're right. Dusty May he's had some success at Florida Atlantic. I get that, but I wish they'd get a bigger name. You know, like I would hope they'd be able to cast a wider net. May has a 10-year contract extension he just signed that'll make around $16 million in base salary through the end of the deal. He can be bought out for $1 million after February 29th. So his name is certainly popping up there. Miller down at Xavier, another one I know that has gotten some play.
Bo talk on Friday about Thad Matta.
I would love that. I'd be okay with that.
How crazy would that be?
I'm not sure you should ever get remarried to a woman you've already divorced.
I mean,
I love
so
that.
Weird.
I love what he's doing. That era was great. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you guys, and Scotty and I were talking about this today. It seems like the consensus group has been these four. Paris, McDermott,
right.
Miller, and May.
Right.
I just feel like there's someone out there that nobody's talking. I feel like Ross Bjork is going to go big.
I
feel like there's somebody out there that we're not talking about that all of a sudden is going to pop up and be the coach.
I don't want McDermott. I think McDermott's a jerk.
I feel like this list, if Gene Smith was running the coaching search, would be spot on. But he's not.
Right.
The new guy is. And
Scooney Penn has interest, apparently.
Oh, my
Penn
God.
Penn and Gent.
Gent. And Gent did. Aww. Gent was an interim coach in the NBA, head coach for the Magic for a
while.
That's
right.
But he's had a lot of assistant coach experience,
all
obviously.
All kinds of coaching experience.
Now, assistant with Ohio State, too.
There's been a lot of poo-pooing on NBA coaches coming with no college head coaching experience coming back and doing that recently.
Right.
And the lists aren't great. I haven't heard anybody mention Hubert Davis, who's doing okay at North Carolina.
Yeah.
But I just feel like Chris Gent, especially, is different because of all of the coaching experience he's had, not just in this country, but overseas,
I agree.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gent, I think, would be a decent one to look at, too. And Scooney Penn, too. He had success as an assistant coach in Memphis, and I like him also. So, coming up next, the 2025 NFL season is here. Well, the combine's here. Will we see a Justin Fields trade get made? We'll talk about that next Fan Sports Sunday on The Fan.
We're the highest rated sports radio station in America. There's no joke there. We just are. The Fan. Ohio sports destination. Sports talk, weekend style. You're listening to Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday, final segment of the program. Tito, Jen, and Ryan with you. Once we get out of here, game day, followed by the Fan warm-up show with the co-star of Cocoon, Tim Hall.
I did notice he put we got him one of those big balloons that are like the numbers.
Yeah.
So there's a 4 and a 0. Well, it's now over at Dom DeBerry's desk because he's been here now for 40 years.
You could have just used the ones we used last year for Tim Hall's 40th birthday. You don't have to buy new ones. Just blow them back up.
I didn't know where they were.
Okay. No worries. NFL Combine here is upon us. And there's been talk still about a Justin Fields trade.
Yes.
So you and I, Jen, would both love to see Justin Fields in the black and gold.
More than anything in the world, makes me Tito.
Sick. Okay.
It makes me sick.
Now, let me just reverse this for you and tell you this. I saw a recent mock draft, I think it was on CBS Sports, and they projected Justin Fields being traded to New England.
Oh.
Drafting Marvin Harrison Jr. at 3.
Oh.
Oof.
And Pittsburgh taking J.J. McCarthy in the first round.
Shut your mouth.
Now, this is what I'm going to ask you about.
I like that a lot better.
I'm sure you do.
I'm going to ask you this. All over myself.
How much does your Michigan hate transfer over to your NFL team?
Well, considering the fact that I hate Ben Roethlisberger with a white hot passion, I'll just go back to finding that, you know, one quarterback in the league that I love, and it'll just be going back to Patrick Mahomes and rooting for him, and then still rooting for my team, and then hoping for injury for, you know, JJ. Sorry.
Maybe we're wrong about McCarthy. I don't think we're wrong about, I think McCarthy's going to be a bust. I do.
Oh, he's going to be a massive bust. Are you kidding me?
But
he's
will find it hard to root for him if he's the quarterback of my favorite NFL team.
Yeah. Like, it was hard to root for Mitch Trubisky.
So I hate how much I loved watching Tom Brady play quarterback because he was a Michigan guy.
Yeah.
Now, I love the fact that Michigan always tried to get rid of him. They always tried to find somebody, you know, Drew Henson, he's going to be the starter, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
So, I guess, what do we consider bust for Jay? Like, if he's drafted in the first round, J.J. McCarthy's probably going to be a bust. But I think he's going to be a long-time NFL quarterback. Now, that may be as a backup, but I think he'll be in the league for a long time.
I think so, too.
I think so, too. But I can't see him leading a team at all.
If the Steelers draft J.J. McCarthy in the first round, doesn't that make Kenny Pickett a bust?
Total.
Right?
Kenny Pickett is a bust.
He was picked in the first round.
Yes.
So
yes,
probably.
He is
I think
a
so.
Bust.
I'm still convinced that the Steelers are picking Michael Penix Jr. and he's going to be a star, and
that
I hate
would be
it. And
amazing.
I hate it.
Amazing.
I hate it.
But they can't use a first round pick on him.
I was going to say, but would he be there at 20?
Yeah, he'd be there at 20.
Probably.
He'd be there in the second rounds. We'd have to get him. He might go before the Steelers pick in the second round. But yes, I don't think Penix goes in the first round. The only way he goes in the first round is the Lamar Jackson rule, where somebody trades up to get the fifth year option on at the end, which could very well happen. When you got the Niners and Chiefs down there, the last two picks in the draft, I could see one of them accumulating future assets to move back a little bit and let someone pick up Penix, get the fifth year option on him. I could see that happening.
I can see that too.
But it'd be tough for McCarthy. I hope the Fields thing happens. The asking price, though, you know, there's been talk about, well, you know, you've got Atlanta has interest in Fields because they need a quarterback. It's just a question of, will anybody pony up a first round pick for Fields?
You,
I don't think they
would.
Would
you give up the 20th pick for Fields?
I would.
God, that's tough.
I feel like a lot of times with Fields, we have our Buckeye blinders on. Because he was so good here and we love him so much. And I understand he's been put in a tough position with Chicago, but there's still a lot he hasn't shown.
Well, and
in
I would
the
like
NFL.
To see him. I think the Steelers offer him a better opportunity to shine than the Bears.
Better weapons
do.
For sure. Better weapons.
But I mean, anything is better than what I had been hearing, you know, like Russell Wilson, there's a possibility he could go to the Steelers.
I don't want that at all.
I don't want that at all. I don't want Kirk Cousins. I don't want Jimmy Garoppolo. Like
you're still looking for a quarterback in the next couple years if you get
those
guys.
Yeah. So, if I had to gun to my head, like the only way you're going to be number 20, then I'd probably do it. But if it's like a 2 and a 5, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
I'll give you Deshaun. What are you willing to do?
No,
I'll give
you Deshaun.
No.
You guys do well with creepy quarterbacks.
Right, yeah, we don't need another creepy quarterback.
I mean, your last one won you Super Bowl.
Yeah, honest to God, if I'm the Browns, I'm making an offer to Chicago for Fields. I really would if I were the Browns.
Can you do that with the Deshaun contract, though?
I'd have to. I don't know if you. I mean, they probably have to cut Nick Chubb, though, because they're already like over the cap. You'd have to, you know. And Fields, well, with Fields, he doesn't have his fifth year option. You have to pick up his fifth year option, which would be for 25. Isn't Watson almost done at that point with his contract?
I believe there's three more seasons
after
on his contract.
this season, and 26, 27, 25, 26. Okay, I have to look at that. But I just think that I'm not convinced Deshaun Watson's going to be the answer for Cleveland.
You and everyone else.
Well, yeah.
That great second half against Baltimore, I get it.
Joe Flacco's there. He's the one who's going to bring Cleveland their championship.
We overrate quarterbacks so much until the playoffs, and that's when they matter. Hello, right. Patrick Mahomes.
Right, exactly. But yeah, so the combine, though, will either of you have any interest in any part of the combine?
Oh, I'll watch part of it. I won't watch all of it, but it's football programming.
Right.
It's new football programming. So, yes, absolutely, I will be watching part of it.
If nothing else is on, I may. You know, what weekend is it?
It's next weekend. It starts like this week.
Yeah, I think this week they're all in Indy now.
So it'll probably be when I'm in here next week
right. Doing
this. I'll probably have it up here and just see it. But.
Well, and then, I mean, you get to see Rich Eisen run the 40 in his dress shoes.
That's true. You get to see that.
Yeah.
Tito, could you beat Rich Eisen in a 40?
I could drink a 40 faster than Rich Eisen, yes.
That's where I was going to go next.
Yes, I could do that. Beat him, no. I pissed off Bo Bishop about 6 months ago when I was questioning what he could do in the 40. Just like, I was like, to be honest, like, you could still run like, could you run the 40 in like 6 seconds? And he's like, oh, Tito, there's a reason I don't like you. This is one of them. And he, like, he got legitimately offended.
Was this on air?
Yeah, it was on air. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
When I asked that, I was like, do Morning Juice. I think it was like 6 months ago. I was like, bring it. I just brought up like, because I don't know. Like, I know for me, it would take, first of all, we'd have to have medical personnel on standby if I run the 40. If I run 40.
Quick, I need an air hose.
Something. But, yeah, so I don't, but sometimes some very competitive people get very offended if you question their 40 time. All right, that's it for us today. Thank you to Ryan Baker.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you, John Gerber at PGA Pro on the X. Thank you to Kevin McGuff, the Ohio State women's head basketball coach, for joining us earlier today. They got Maryland coming up here after us. That's on the AM side, by the way. After us, though, game day is followed by Fan Warm-Up Show with the co-star of Cocoon, 53-year-old Timmy Hall. Don't let him tell you anything different. This has been Fan Sports Sunday on The Fan.
The only radio show Ryan Day listens to when we're holding him hostage, making him listen to a radio show. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan. Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit LindsayHonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.